about.
Morning, sunshine.
Never say that again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's not sexist because I'm saying it in a song. That's right, bitch. Now take off your thong and show me your genitals. Your genitals.
What?
Show me your genitals.
Your genitalia.
This thong gives me an ass rash, but the boys love it.
For your information, I've had a lot of girlfriends. Hot ones.
You have had lots of boyfriends. Gay ones.
It's one of my guilty pleasures. It's a W. I mean, I wouldn't claim heterosexuality.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
And now...
Not only will I not get mixed up in this thing, I'm extremely disinterested in the whole thing.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody. It's going to be a good show.
What did you do? What did you do?
Hey, party people, it's Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin not included. You can call us at 1-800-520-1067. That is the number to get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What It Do nephew. Oh, wow, look who just walked in.
Maybe he is included.
Maybe he is.
Maybe you spoke too soon, Mr. Bean.
I guess so.
I've been here all along. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
What's going on, monkey?
Just standing out in front of the gate waiting for Ralph for his card.
What happened to your card this time?
Listen. This is even worse because I had my card to open the gate to drive in.
Uh-huh. And then you lost it between the time you drove in and the time
Shut
you had to get
up,
into the
I'm
building?
I'm not kidding. And then I couldn't find it. And I was like, "What? How could I possibly?" And then Ralph was coming anyway, so I just kind of stood there waiting for him. But how do you do that? I mean,
how do you do that?
How do you do that?
That's a new low.
That was really weird.
Hey, before we get to your calls, and there's so many things I'm looking forward to talking about today, not the least of which is Psycho Mike having a sex toy attached to his junk during all of Loveline last night, by the way.
Not a surprise.
No, I was just going to say that. It was just a matter of time.
Please tell me, Kevin, that you've seen the woman going all Chicken McNuggets on the McDonald's window.
No.
Please tell me you saw it. Okay. Mike, is it the best video you've seen in a long time?
Yes.
As great as so many videos has been. I mean, think about all the fantastic videos this year. The McNuggets one may be the best.
It's one of those videos you watch where you're like, oh, that's crazy, but you just assume that it's the end, and then it gets worse, and then it gets worse. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this is happening.
All right, so here's what happens, Kevin. She's 25 years old. She pulls up to a McDonald's at 6 o'clock in the morning in Toledo, Ohio. Now, you've been in this position. You have a particular food in mind, and the restaurant is serving a different menu at that time. She wanted Chicken McNuggets. That's what she was in the mood for at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, what's McDonald's serving at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, breakfast. And it's not a surprise. It's not like they just changed the menu so that, you know, what she wanted was no longer available.
Right.
Exactly. So she gets upset by that, and she starts yelling at the person. By the way, there is no sound on the video. It's surveillance video, but there's no sound. She starts yelling at the person in the McDonald's window, and then she gets out of her car and starts reaching through the drive-through window to hit the woman.
All right.
So the woman and very soon her colleagues at the McDonald's decide they're going to try to keep this woman out, keep her from getting to them. So they start grabbing the window and trying to slam the window on her arm to stop her from being able to put her arm into the restaurant, right?
Wow.
She gets back into her car and you're thinking, well, that was ugly and unfortunate, but at least that's over. And then she gets back out of the car with something in her hand, I couldn't tell what, and smashes the window of the McDonald's.
I think it was the club, the security device, the club that you put on your steering
kidding.
Wheel. I think that's what you got.
Wow, did she want McNuggets?
She wanted a McNugget.
So she smashes the window, and again, they've got this whole thing closed up and everything like that, and she's screaming at him and everything, and then she gets back in the car, and she just steps on the gas and just zips out of there as fast as possible. And what's funny, and I love the fact that the video keeps rolling, is because the next car pulls up to the window with all the shattered glass and everything like that, and like nothing happened. The woman gets her bag, get the bag together, and hands it out the window to the guy.
Wow.
He was behind her in the line. Is that unbelievable?
You think they had a quick meeting in the back, like, would it be hard to just make some McNuggets?
Yeah, really?
I mean,
let's just do it.
This woman's crazy.
So, 25 years old, 6 o'clock in the morning, Mike and I were talking about before you got in. She's got to be drunk, right?
She's something.
I would
think. She has to be. Drunk she can't just be that angry about McNuggets.
Yeah. Yeah. Drunk or crazy, yeah. Maybe, yeah, probably drunk.
That's your McNugget food.
Yeah, I mean, that's your, you have something, you know, something you have to have right now.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And nothing else will do. There's right. no substitutes at that point. Anyway, we're going to have Dave, we're doing an internet roundup today, so we're going to have Dave add that to it so that you can see it for yourself. But it is, it's remarkable. It's really, really great.
Love that. Love to watch people flip out. All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You call, you get on the air, you get a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Yeah, please give us a call and get on the air, especially if you don't want to make us go to Dewan, who will sing, okay? How about a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt for your effort? That's something you can sell on eBay. 1-800-520-1067. And we'll start with Steve. He's on line one, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling What It Do.
Hey, what it do? Hey, listen, you guys were talking about the Step Up video or the movie yesterday morning.
Yes, Step Up 3D.
Yeah, how good were the 3D effects?
I got to tell you, I thought they were great. There were a couple times when it felt a little gimmicky, you know, when they try to do it too much. They're dancing and they put their hands together and they like reach over your head, like that kind of stuff. Where you go, all right, you're in 3D, we get it.
But, yeah, right. But, I mean, it just takes me back to the whole kind of like Jason, you know, with the knife type thing.
But you went.
No, I haven't. So I'm just kind of wondering if that's the idea. Is it just kind of the same redundant?
It's great. No, I mean, it really is great because they filmed it that way. They made it in 3D on purpose.
And yeah, it makes a giant difference.
The dancing and the moves and all the incredible stuff they're doing look so good in 3D. It's really fascinating. Yeah. But don't look for Dave the King of Mexico because he's not in it.
I heard you guys roasted him yesterday. I thought that was
contrary to what he says. Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
All right, thank you, guys.
Ready to take the biggest step of all in 3D.
Let's do this.
Step Up 3D.
Rated PG-13.
In theaters.
Right. Is it the biggest step of all, would you say?
I would say Neil Armstrong had a bigger one.
It's a different category, though.
Exactly.
In dancing, I would believe so, yes.
Let's try Dewan.
Hey, Dewan.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dewan.
How's it going, buddy?
All right, and I'd like to sing happy belated birthday to Ryan Echo of 90210.
Okay.
May I ask why?
Because he's the man. He's cool.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah. When was his birthday?
Yesterday on the 10th.
So you just missed the birthday.
Now, I know you like him and you like his show, but it's not enough that you posted videos on the internet about how much you like him and his show and wished him a happy birthday. Now, today, you need to sing to him.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
Happy birthday.
Oh, no, Kevin, just not Dewan. You can't do that to Dewan. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Dewan. I'm sorry.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ryan Echo. Happy birthday to you. Ryan, you're the man, my man.
Right. Yeah.
And I thought you watched that show for the ladies. You like everybody on 90210, huh?
Oh, yes, I do.
He likes the guys because they're close to the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Dewan does.
I cannot wait for season 3 to come back.
What is that? Is it fall?
On the 13th of September.
September 13th.
That'll be here before you know it, Dewan.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, great. Well, mission accomplished. Thanks for calling. Have a great day, okay?
Cool.
Thank you, Dewan.
All right, Dewan. Bye-bye now.
It's cool.
Bean?
Cool.
It's cool.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Well, someone just brought everything to a screeching halt.
I prefer to think of it as kicking things off.
Okay.
Perhaps. We have a new internet roundup. We have too many, actually, this time.
That's the best.
Too many videos. We have Amber Tamblyn on the program talking about House.
Yes. Love her so much.
Love her. Love that show. Comedian Jeff Ross will be here talking about the David Hasselhoff roast. He is the roast master general. He's the best. We have Jason Schwartzman in the studio as well.
Yes.
Who's going to be talking about his latest project, Scott Pilgrim. And we have smokeout tickets for you. Mm-hmm. And we need to talk to you if the way you quit your job was kick-ass. If you went in and, you know, turned over desks or sent out emails.
You were dramatic.
Yeah, super dramatic. Just kick ass, I quit, F you.
Or if a coworker did it, right?
Because, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But because everybody feels like doing that, but few people actually just follow through and literally just go postal. We don't really want the postal ones.
Right.
If you shot someone, go ahead and keep that to yourself. But just short of that, we'd like to take your stories. That's coming up in the next hour as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, Ralph Garman. How's it going, man?
Hey, Bean Baxter. How are you?
What's happening? What, how you doing?
I'm here to tell you about showbiz news.
We're going to tell you about Jesus Shore coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then your spectacular I Quit stories going out with a blaze of glory. It's amazing how many people have them, because the email already coming in with crazy stuff that people have done. People, I think it's one of those things, just like with the flight attendant this week, I think they think about it for a long time before they do it. I think he always knew that that's eventually how he's going to quit that job if he got pissed off enough.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the day.
You get worked up. Start making your plans, then you alter them, make more, and then you're ready.
Exactly. Anyway, we'll take those calls next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph. What's going on?
Well, now we finally know what was the ember that started the huge flame of violence between Charlie Sheen and his wife, Brooke Mueller, that Christmas day when he pulled a knife and threatened to kill her.
Yeah.
And cops had to be called in Aspen, Colorado. He was placed under arrest. It was an ugly, ugly melee. But now that we know the reason behind it, I think it casts a little bit more understanding and perhaps a little bit more empathy on our part as why they would fight.
Oh, all right.
They got into a fight, apparently, over the song Drops of Jupiter by Train.
Really? You mean one?
Excuse me?
One liked it and one didn't?
Yes.
Really?
Apparently, Charlie thinks the Drops of Jupiter song is wonderful.
Right.
And it is the song that he and his daughter love together. It's an important song for them. They share that. That's their song.
Okay.
Brooke then responded angrily that she and Charlie don't have their own song. Why don't we have a song? You have a song with your daughter, but we don't have a song? And then the snowball started at the top of the mountain.
Wow.
And
that's
the next thing you know, knives are being pulled over Drops of Jupiter.
Wow.
I always said, Train's no goddamn good. They will cause you to kill someone. So keep that in mind, Train fans.
That's bizarre.
That song is the most innocuous
cotton candy
song on the planet.
And I can't see loving it, and I can't see hating it. It's just kind of there.
Apparently, it's an important song for Charlie and his daughter.
Okay. Sounds like she had issues anyway and would have found
glad that she got so jealous about his relationship with his own daughter that she started in on him.
Right.
They sound like the perfect couple. They really do. Yeah. There's a lot of maturity in that relationship.
Women. Right, Lisa?
Yeah.
Right,
that's
Lisa?
It's women.
Speaking of women, how about that Fantasia Barrino?
How about that?
She, of course, was the winner of season 3 of American Idol. She's had quite the week. First, she was identified as the other woman in a divorce between the Cooks, Paula and Antoine Cook. Paula says Fantasia broke up her marriage with Antoine by having an affair with him and making a sex tape together.
Right.
Fantasia denies breaking up their marriage. She says she thought that Antoine and Paula had broken up their marriage last summer. That's why she was dating him. She did get his name tattooed on her collarbone.
Okay.
And she did get on the phone while they were having an argument, yelling at her, "You don't know how to keep a man."
Oh, man.
No, you didn't.
Wow.
Well, now, Fantasia apparently was rushed to the hospital in what appears to be a suicide attempt.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
TMZ said she was treated for a medication overdose. No word on exactly what those medications were. However, her manager, Brian Dickens, says she was merely, wait for it, exhausted and dehydrated.
Well, that happens.
And she is now in stable condition.
Because they gave her a glass of water.
TMZ.com says that they think the overdose was caused by taking aspirin and a sleeping aid. That doesn't sound like much of a suicide attempt.
Really
lame
doesn't.
Overdose.
What do I have? Let's see. I got some Bear, and I got some Tylenol PM. I am going to die. Goodbye, cruel world.
I'm going to mix one of each.
Oh, I am going to sleep my ass right into heaven.
That actually sounds like someone's exhausted and dehydrated, doesn't it?
It does. I'd like to take that right now and just lay down and take a nap. Bill Clinton apparently spent the better part of an evening this weekend with Christie Brinkley.
All right.
I love Bill. He just does not say die. He just keeps on going. New York Post says that former commander-in-chief We're at a billionaire's shindig in New York, and apparently you couldn't separate Bill Clinton and Christie Brinkley with a crowbar.
All right. You know, we don't hear very much about it, but his wife is the Secretary of State.
Yes.
And by definition, her job requires her to be gone a lot around the world.
She's happy is he?
Gone.
What's he doing with all these days and nights?
You know what he's doing.
They say that Bill and Christie engaged in what onlookers were calling a long and intense conversation.
Guilty!
But wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I used to watch that Uptown Girl video. Billy Joel made with you in it. With my pants around my ankles. Kelsey Grammer apparently has a new girlfriend. Well, after all, he did split with his wife 6 weeks ago.
Sure.
You can't expect a man to be alone forever.
No.
Got to move on. Life's for the living.
Apparently her name is Kate, according to the New York Post. And the word is she is young and blonde and buxom.
Yeah.
He's got a type, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Rumors are also swirling that she could be in a delicate condition, as they say.
Already?
Pregnant already?
Yeah, pregnant already.
Ooh.
Apparently, he was trying to hold off on the baby announcement until the ink on the divorce papers was dry, but now this may have been leaked by the New York Post. Man. We'll have to wait and see.
I wish there was a way to make sure that didn't happen.
There is none. No. Modern science has not yet perfected a way to keep people from having babies after they have sex.
Even people his age.
Yeah,
wow. Amazing.
Yeah. Jada Pinkett Smith says that she wants to spend her days naked.
All right.
The actress and wife of Will Smith tells Us Weekly magazine, if I had my way, I'd wear jewelry, a great pair of heels, and nothing else.
That's so hot.
I'm in.
Apparently, she would like to drape another woman over her, though. No, I'm kidding. Those are just rumors. I think this is a great idea, Jada. Get naked and get off my TV set, because that Hawthorne is unwatchable.
Oh, you know.
God, is that a bad show.
I haven't watched that.
Oh.
Is it just cheesy?
Whew. It is. Everything that's wrong with medical dramas.
She's bad or the whole project?
You got it, sport.
Everyone.
Hey, Kevin, you want some more Green Lantern news? I know the movie comes out any day now.
That's the one that comes out summer of next year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But still, Ryan Reynolds is complaining to Us Weekly magazine that filming Green Lantern in Louisiana in 90-degree heat is difficult when you're running around in a unitard. Oh, sorry, Ryan. So, and he's doing it for free, too, which is what I feel bad.
Wow.
I mean, they got him working so hard, he's sweating, and he's oh, no, wait a minute, he's getting millions of dollars.
Yeah. But he's a little hot.
He's a little hot. And he is in a unitard. So. And more comic book news. Daily Variety announces that the long-delayed and much-anticipated Spider-Man musical will now finally hit the stage.
Yay!
This is the musical, by the way, that the music was written by Bono and the Edge of U2. And they've been trying to get this thing up and running for years now.
It does seem like there have
been quite a few delays.
Yeah. It's finally going to begin previews at the Foxwoods Theater, November the 14th. It's a theater on Broadway.
Seems like an easy transition. I mean, it should work.
It should.
November 14th and a December 21st actual grand opening date is when it'll start airing for the lucrative Christmas market in New York, when a lot of shows do very, very well.
Sure.
I understand why we get nervous about delays, because sometimes we think it's because the project isn't good and critically it's having trouble. But I think this one had a lot of financial problems.
That's what put it
on blocks for a while, right?
Yeah, apparently.
Which may not have anything to do with the quality of the show.
The show has been ready to go and is pretty much the same, you know, same script and same music for some time now. They just could not get the financing to put it up. Apparently, it's a very expensive show, as you can imagine. I'm sure there's a lot of special effects with Spider-Man swinging around the stage.
Well, this timing does not seem good, Ben.
Why is that?
Why?
Because the recession and Broadway is definitely... I mean, they've been closing a lot of shows down because they just can't keep people in the theaters.
Yeah, but if you are going to open it, at Christmas time is usually when
it's a superhero.
Shows do well.
Yeah.
He
Spider-Man.
Is a superhero.
This is Spider-Man.
Maybe
he's got the proportionate
everything.
Strength of a spider.
Come on now.
Are you forgetting that, Lisa?
Forgetting that?
I guess I was.
The webs.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak is 60 years old today. If you hold him a certain way, you cannot hear him talk, however. That's what I've heard.
Is that right?
Yeah, isn't that strange? Hulk Hogan is 57 years old today. The Hulkster. Hulk, what do you have to say on your birthday, Hulk?
Happy birthday to me, brother.
Those improv classes are paying off, aren't they?
At least he did it. At least he came with it.
Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie is 34 years old today. Rapper Asher Roth. He's white.
Yeah.
And yet he raps.
Wow. How does he feel about higher education?
He loves college.
Thank you, Mike.
Yay! Thank you. You're not helping, Mike. You're not helping when you enable him.
Really. I know, but you understand he would have made us sit here
That was the only way to move on. But file.
Asher Roth is 25 years old today. And Chris Kelly, Mac Daddy of Criss Cross, celebrates his 32nd birthday today. You know what Criss Cross makes me want to do? It's the wrong jump.
They make you want to jump.
They do, but it's a different song that Criss Cross made me want to.
Jump around. Jump around. Jump around.
That would be an incorrect choice,
they
sir.
Made you want to jump around?
No, they did not. They just made me want to jump.
Oh.
Oh, I am wearing my clothes backwards in their honor all day today. I hope everyone appreciates that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
A lot of talk about our friend, the flight attendant, Steve Slater. He's out of jail now, by the way, and he thanks his supporters for their support.
He's a hero.
He's a hero. He's unbelievable. And it's so funny because we talked about this a lot yesterday. And by now, you've probably seen the flight attendant that we're talking about is a guy who got into a brief altercation with a passenger who hit him in the head with her luggage as she was bringing it down off the overhead compartment. And you saw when they were taking him to jail, he's got a big scar on his forehead already.
I have a question. Just briefly, is anything going to happen to that passenger?
I don't know. I never heard them say anything about anything happening
like
to her.
I would like to know who she is and take her out.
Wow. Right.
Well, he quit in a spectacular fashion by basically swearing at the passenger and everybody else on the plane over the plane's overhead system and then grabbed a couple of beers and deflated the emergency chute and just hit the road. And as Kevin said, he's a hero now. And I think the reason he's a hero is not only do we have sympathy for him and his crappy job and others who have jobs where they have to deal with the public all the time, and we're like you said yesterday, Kevin, we're surprised it doesn't happen more often that people don't blow their lids like this. But I think everybody has the vision of, in particular if they're in a job they don't like, of being able to go out in such a fun way.
Well, you think about it day and if you have a boring, horrible job, you think about it day and night. You run through the scenarios. How fun would it be to do this? What if I did that? And most people don't end up acting on it. But the ones that do, like this dude, they're your hero.
Everybody wants to have their take this job and shove it moment. We had that tape from that DJ. I don't remember where she was, but she quit on the air. She was so ticked off about the way things were going at her station that these were her final words.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch. So
that is a memorable way to go. Yeah. I quit this bitch.
That's the way to do it.
Dear Kevin and Bean, my name is Matt. I quit Starbucks back in 2003, and here's what I did. The last night I was there, I mopped the entire floor in our store with 2 gallons of caramel. Then I proceeded to take 15 pounds of ground espresso on top of that.
All right.
Needless to say, when my boss came to open the next morning, I became a free agent. Now, there's a guy who planned it out ahead of time, had a way that he wanted to go out, and made sure that the company knew how happy he was to leave.
We are going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you kick-ass ways, you quit. Most of us, we either get fired or we just quit. We just go
we
in and say,
skulk out.
I'll give you 2 weeks. Yeah. And
by the way, and that makes sense. Yeah. You don't want to burn bridges. And many times you want to be able to use your employer as a reference.
Right.
So you don't want to do something like that on the way out the door.
But it happens occasionally. And if you did that or you were there when somebody else did that, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
River writes in, "Hey guys, I once worked for a well-known cruise company. I had a worthless boss from hell. Well, I realized I had the opportunity to take advantage of a free 10-day cruise that employees got before I started at my new job. If I had given notice, they would have revoked the cruise. So I called in my resignation from the deck of the ship on the last day of the cruise.
Nice.
I got back, started my new job the next day."
That's awesome.
That is
sweet. That would feel so good.
He worked the system a little bit there, right?
Yeah.
Here's another one. I mean, we hadn't even opened up the phones for this, and the emails are already flooding in from people who are so proud of the way that they left their jobs. This is a listener of ours in Arizona, Alex. "A few years ago, I was working at a deli restaurant in Glendale, Arizona at the mall.
Glendale.
My boss was super, different Glendale, Mike. My boss was super sketchy and always stole money from everyone, and I was sick of it. One day he told me that the register was off by $20. No worries, he'll just take it out of my check. Well, I had it at that point. I walked out of his office straight to the deli meats, and I stole a whole pastrami and a tray of about 3 pounds of sliced salami. I walked right out the front door, and I made it rain salami all over my boss's car. Then I ran to my car with a giant hunk of pastrami under my arm. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm a vegan. I don't even eat meat, but I felt it was necessary to steal those meats to show my displeasure. Love the show, guys."
I rented raining salami. It was totally different.
I bet that was good.
Not the same thing. You remember Half-Baked, too.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? You remember that scene where the dude quits? That's the best. This is how you want to go out.
Still waiting on that heifer, Julio. You, 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 you're cool. You, I'm out.
Done.
All right, let's take Brody.
Every person in the building, you know, right there. Every person. You're bad, you're bad, you're bad. Love that.
Let's talk to Brody real quick, and then we'll come back with everyone's phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. How spectacularly did you quit your job? Or if you were working someplace and somebody else did it, we want to hear the story from you as well. Brody, welcome to the show. What happened, dude?
You know, it's funny you guys just played that clip because that's almost exactly how it happened.
All right.
So it was 2009, New Year's Eve. I worked at Black Angus.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I was going to be able to get off in time and go to the Together as One rave.
Right.
But they decided to tell me, no, you get to close. So
and closing is past midnight, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to spend my New Year's Eve with a steak in my hands.
Yeah.
And I go in, let my whole station fill up, it's busy, and then I go in the back and gave that exact speech to everyone and walked down. It was like 45 minutes before all my tables figured out what was happening.
Oh, nice. So you ruined their New Year's Eve as well.
That's all right. I was with Armin Van Buuren.
So thanks, you guys. That's hilarious. That's very funny. Thanks, unless you happen to be having a New Year's Eve at the Black Angus that night.
But how many of us have felt that way? How many people feel like I need to tell everyone off and get out of this situation?
Everyone.
So we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067 next.
We're talking about spectacular ways to quit your job. There are a couple reasons why we're doing it today. One is the flight attendant, Steve Slater. And then yesterday, the internet was just on fire with this hot chick, Jenny, with her dry erase board. Apparently that is turning out to be a hoax, by the way. I guess we're going to find out later on today the people behind that, what the real story was, what they're publicizing with her. But we all wanted to believe it because it was exactly the type of story that we're looking for, which is, you know, basically somebody, in her case, she put together a photo essay on dry erase boards of all the reasons why she hated her boss and what a waste of time he was and how he spent all his time on Farmville and everything like that, and emailed it to everybody in the office. That's the way you want to quit your job, right?
Yeah.
You want to go out in a spectacular blaze of glory.
And the reason so many people feel like that is that their bosses are not smarter than them or better or know what they're talking about.
Right.
For the most part, but they got a lot of attitude. So you go, wow, exactly. This is crazy.
So let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067, including David on line one. I hope it's David. David, welcome to the show. What's going on?
What's up, man? Hey, what's going on?
It's been a long time, man. It's been a long time. We were just talking about that. Where did he go?
We missed that dude.
All right.
Let's try Rich line three. Hey, Rich. Welcome to the Kevin DeBeat Show. What's going on?
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Rich.
That last guy, for those of you who don't know, he likes to prank call us, and we love it. He's the best. The way he does it is funny. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, I got even with the boss by having sex with his wife in his office on his desk.
Wow. That's the best way to quit a job ever.
And, yeah, I set it up to where... we had already had a relationship going.
I was going to ask if you somehow hatched this plan and then had to make it happen, or you already had an ongoing relationship.
Well, they're already on the out. They're already separated.
Right, but you and her.
Me and her, yeah, we had gone for, I don't know, probably about a year.
All right. All right.
And I was just done with the guy.
Yeah.
So we had set it up where I was having sex with her on his desk, and I called him up. So there was emergency. Got to come down to the office.
Nice.
Oh, so you intentionally wanted him to see it with his own eyes.
Hell yeah. And then I said, see ya.
Nice.
All done.
That's now almost too good to be true.
Were they? Yes, right. Were they divorced?
Yeah, they were completely separated.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, they were about 3 or 4 months separated.
I got you. All right.
And he was a little dweeb, so he wasn't going to cause me any harm.
Right, sure.
So.
Okay.
Wow, that's awesome. Hey, come look at this.
Good times.
And then I'm out.
I'm in, I'm out.
Right.
Hey, thanks for the call. Let's try Julian line four. Julian, thanks for calling. Tell us how you quit.
Oh, man, I'd like to compete with that story, but there's no way I can compete with
that
one.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds too good to be true,
it's
by the way.
Yeah, it sounds shaky to me.
We sort of doubt it only because it's the perfect story. That would be awesome if it happened that way. So
we want to believe.
We hope it did. Go ahead.
Well, that's my new hero, that guy. Well, I just started driving, and I was working for Subway, for a corporation, driving for Subway.
Right.
And they were having us work. That place was out of control. No one was, manager didn't know what he was doing. Working 18, 20 hours a day illegally.
Ouch.
Yeah, I didn't even, I didn't know much.
And you were illegal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So, you know what I mean? I called him up and I told him I couldn't finish the route. And he's like, do the best you can, but don't come back with anything. So I called my wife and I told her, look, babe, I'm like, I can't do it no more and this and that. So I parked the truck, locked the keys inside, opened the back door, and I walked out. I know, I'm sure they were calling me all night. My phone was off and everything. From when what I heard, the last I heard from them is that all the products inside the truck was gone.
I like it. Yeah, just help yourself.
Feed the people.
Everyone in the neighborhood just said, hey, free food, this is great.
That's awesome.
That's great. Thank you, Julie.
Let's try Mario, line 6. Mario, thanks for calling the Kevin Beecher. How'd you quit?
Hey, good morning, guys. I used to be an ex-mechanic for a motorcycle shop.
Mm-hmm.
Bad, bad time building a bike. Finally had it, said screw it all, beat the bike to hell, and pushed over every single part shelf possible.
Wow. And those part shelves have millions of parts.
Millions of parts, everything chrome and painted, you know, a lot of custom work on
nice.
Quads and dirt bikes.
Nice.
And so finally said, screw it all.
You wanted to do as much damage as possible before you walked out.
I did as much damage as possible. Even drop little nuts and bolts in engines. That way, later on down the line,
dude.
You can have some fun.
Wow, nice.
That's wow. Why, briefly, if you can, why did you hate that job so much that you wanted to do that much damage?
Rebuilding the bikes were fun and all, but dealing with the customers where they want to change it up when you're done.
Yeah.
Having to go back to it just wasn't fun. Motors weren't working.
It's
maybe
all
it was me being drunk half the time. Who knows?
It could be. That could help. Yeah. A little bit.
The best part is you took it out on lots of innocent people who had nothing to do with the situation, though. That's what
exactly.
I like about it.
Exactly.
Well, listen, I have a special place in my heart for people who do the service industry because you can tell, you know, that guy at least once a day had somebody come in and bitch him out about something that they told him to do it that way.
Yeah.
And then he did it. And then they said, no, it sucks.
That's not what I asked for.
And they blamed him. Oh, I would take my life.
Well, good times. Next time you quit in a spectacular fashion, be sure to let the Kevin and Bean show know because it does make us all feel good when we see it happen. Quick break. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat right after this. Our pal Jason Schwartzman back on the Kevin and Bean show coming up in about 10 minutes or so. So looking forward to this Scott Pilgrim movie, by the way.
Me too.
It looks so good. Anyway, and he's got Bored to Death coming back in a couple of weeks, too, which is a show we enjoy very much. So we'll catch up with Jason on the way on the Kevin and Bean show right now. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Jason, by the way, is rocking the stash.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He's giving me inspiration. I may have to...
may have to do the stash?
Might have to start growing the stash. Before I get to Showbiz News, a lot of support, tons of support, are rolling in for the upcoming Michael Clark Duncan and Kevin Ryder fight. And I know we are all very excited about that. We're trying to put those puzzle pieces into place.
Not going to fight him.
This email comes from listener Pete.
Not going to happen.
Dear Ralph, I heard that Kevin called out Michael Clark Duncan. Please tell Mr. Duncan that I would like to make him a very generous offer for Kevin's head, since it will not be intact after the fight. I have a very large game room, and I think it will fill out the room nicely.
Fill up too much, probably.
But if he decides to keep it as a trophy, I would certainly understand from listener Pete. So yeah.
Kevin's head on the wall, stuffed, would be awesome, up there with the zebras and the elephants.
Yeah, where would you find a wall that size, though?
Well, that's true. Happy outdoors,
you'd
I guess.
You have to use the green monster.
Me kind, me in a ring. I mean, how would I? What kind of defense would I use for a head this size? There's no way you could block...
No, you wouldn't.
Any shots.
For listeners who weren't with us yesterday, Ralph, explain how Kevin called out Michael Clark Duncan and basically challenged him and insisted that he climb into a ring with him and fight him.
Yes.
Didn't do any of that.
Kevin called him a girl on several occasions.
Didn't do that.
Said he played baseball like a girl, ran like a girl.
I said he threw like a girl.
Right. And then said he could kick his ass, pretty much.
That was a joke.
And said if he got into a ring with him, Michael Clark Duncan would bring out a small white glove and just slap him across the face.
That was
with
also a joke.
If they ever got into a ring. And so we heard from some friends of Michael's who trained with him at the Gracie Academy down there in Torrance. Of course, the Gracie family legends in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Uh-huh.
And so we thought, well, Kevin's an accomplished kickboxer. He always talks about his kickboxing prowess.
Sure.
So it's time to put these two titans together in a ring and see who comes out champion.
Not going
to
happen.
So we're working on that, and we're going to make that happen. And
except UFC 118.
Not going to happen.
I will keep you updated as things...
He's 10 times my size.
...get closer. But he's a girl, right?
No.
He's girly.
He throws like a girl.
Right.
He does.
Did Rocky beat Ivan Drago or not?
Yes. Were they both fighters?
I'm just saying. He's 10 times my size. That's no defense.
That's right.
You're scrappy.
He's just a man, Rock. He's just a man like you. All right. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Interesting news regarding The Office... This coming from entertainmentweekly.com, EW.com, if you want to check it out yourself. But apparently there is a short list of possible replacements for Steve Carell. As we know, Steve is going to be leaving the series after this upcoming season. So this year, they may be adding an additional cast member, perhaps grooming him to take over the office after Carell leaves. Some very encouraging casting ideas, according to EW.com. One of which is Danny McBride, who you may know from Eastbound and Down.
Love him. He's great.
He is a very, very funny actor. And the other one, which is just added to the short list this week, is Rhys Darby from Flight of the Conchords, who played Murray.
Murray.
Their manager.
Are you kidding? That would be the best.
That would be a pretty genius move.
Wow.
Now, Rhys is out of a gig since the boys decided not to continue with Flight of the Conchords over there on HBO. So it seems like he is more likely since Eastbound and Down is still going on over there on HBO.
Hit a new low point.
So can you see him calling the shots?
Yes, that would be great.
Be the best.
That'd be pretty funny.
You could come from the- my God. Oh, it's terrible. What have you done?
He could come from the New Zealand branch and take over. I like it. More encouraging entertainment news. Looks like Spyglass Entertainment, which is a production company that financed such films as Dinner for Schmucks, Star Trek, The Sixth Sense. They are in talks with MGM Studios to take over ownership and restructure that studio and become the people to run MGM, which is good news for those of you who like the James Bond franchise. That franchise has been put on indefinite hold because they have basically run out of money to make the Bond movies.
That's so weird.
And the Peter Jackson Hobbit films, both of those have also been put on the back burner because they don't have money to make those either. So these are two film franchises that people are very much looking forward to seeing the next editions of that we will perhaps get if Spyglass indeed finalizes this deal with MGM.
Are the James Bond, is that franchise the longest running?
Yes.
The most, yeah?
Yes. Yes, by far.
That sucks. I mean, it sucks that it's in limbo.
But you meant the James Bond series sucks.
It's in limbo now.
Some people would beg to differ.
Yeah.
Ah, Snooki. We got Snooki. Apparently, she is not just a big-haired idiot.
That's so hot.
She is going to be soon a published author.
Yeah.
She's working on her book.
Right.
You know, the situation's got his own book.
Sure.
Oh,
and now Snooki is writing her book. Hers, however, will not be a self-help book or a workout book, much like the situation's. This is going to be a Guido Guidette dictionary. She will give you the definitions of Guido and Guidette terms so that you can keep up with her when she talks to you.
Yeah. So someone else will write this and they'll put her name on it.
How dare you? Correct. How dare you try to even cast aspersions on her literary talents? I will have none of it, sir.
That book isn't even going to happen. That's a rumor. No way.
No?
Doesn't it seem like the publishing world is kind of in trouble right now? They're going to do that.
These shows are so successful.
I know,
and those are the kind of books that sell.
Exactly.
It's the quirky little weird novelty books
that don't take any brains.
But you guys love that
cheap
show
to make, and they they fly off the shelf.
You love that show. You'd never buy something that stupid.
No,
yeah.
No.
You know what I mean?
But I'm not going to buy the Justin Bieber book either. But I'm telling you, it's going to sell a lot of copies because that's the kind of stuff that moves now. And this is a great story. Pee-wee Herman, Paul Rubens, showed up at Sturgis, South Dakota over the weekend. You may be familiar that Sturgis is the site of the world's largest motorcycle rally.
Yeah.
He showed up this weekend.
On a Vespa?
A Vespa. To film a segment for his Broadway show, the Pee Wee Herman Show, which started here in L.A., is moving to Broadway. Apparently, he gets all the bikers at Sturgis to dance with him to the tune Tequila by the Champs. If you remember the film Pee Wee's Big Adventure, he goes to the biker bar and dances up on the bar.
Only he could make that happen.
Breakdancing! He throws all the bottles and glasses on the floor. Oh, I love that damn movie.
I've seen the pictures of him with the bandana on and hanging out with Lorenzo Lamas. I mean, it's crazy to see Pee-wee in that circumstance. So funny.
He's the best. For those of you who missed that show here in L.A., you missed out. It was so
funny. I didn't
see
it, but every friend that I have that went was raving.
It was great. Yeah. He's going to Broadway, and then he's got another movie in the works, too. We're going to see another Pee-wee movie soon, so that's good news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak is 60 years old today. Hulk Hogan, who is 57 years old today, celebrates his birthday. Hulkster, what are your plans to celebrate the birthday?
Having sex with my 19-year-old girlfriend, brother.
All right,
he was ready for that.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie is 34 years old today. Asher Roth celebrates his 25th birthday. And rapper Chris Kelly, maybe you know him better as Mac Daddy of Criss Cross, He is 32 years old today. Chris Cross, make you wanna? Like 13 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I like that he's like four and he's Daddy Mac.
And Mac Daddy. He's both. He's got it coming and going. I'm Rob Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I thought it was Jason Schwartzman when he walked in, but now I realize it's the porn version of Jason Schwartzman who just walked in with an unbelievable mustache.
Hey, Bean.
Wow.
Dude. How are you?
Did I see you in the Sabotage video? What's going on here?
I have, for those who aren't with us right now, yes, I have a mustache. And
that's a rocking mustache, by the way.
Thank you very much.
It's not just a mustache.
No, that's pro, man.
Thank you. You know, it's, there are real mustache enthusiasts and people who really do them.
Right.
I'm sure there are clubs.
This is a joke to them. This is a joke. This is like a car that's, you know, manual. This is an automatic transmission for, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
I see. Right.
There are people who do the wax and it curls up.
Right. But those people, you shouldn't take into account because they're crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
in the real world, your stash rocks.
Thank you very much. All right. My wife likes it. Mm-hmm. I can grow a beard and to make her laugh in the mornings, I shave my beard, but I'll shave parts of my face off in different orders. So sometimes I'll shave off the goatee only.
And then leave everything else?
And leave it. Looks kind of like an admiral. Put a little pipe in there like a sea captain.
Good.
Then I'll shave off the mustache and leave the beard. And I don't know. Is that more of a... is that Amish style?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe it is. Yeah.
Maybe.
Which is my personal favorite, which I think I'm going to do next.
Okay. All right. Then you're already planning it out?
The one that I do, Backstreet Boy, which is very thin.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I outline the jaw.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then the one that doesn't go over well with my wife, but my dog seems to love, is I shave everything on my face off but leave the hair on my neck.
Neck beard.
Oh, neck beard. Yeah. No. That doesn't work for any human.
No.
Have you tried the Hitler?
No. No,
you haven't done that
I
one
will
yet.
Never
okay.
try that one.
All right, you got to draw the line
That's
somewhere.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I saw your video, you and your co-star Michael Cera from the Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I saw the video that you guys did a couple of nights ago doing the weather in Atlanta. And
yeah.
I didn't know you had grown a mustache, and I thought it was a prop. I thought that you had pasted it on your face to be funny because you were doing the weather. I thought, well, that's a ridiculous look. Well, I see that you're walking around with it full time.
It's a good icebreaker. Like, it always, you know, if there's, you know, it, you know, if it makes someone laugh or makes someone happy, or I love it. That's what it's good for. It. I
now,
like it.
How long is it? How long are you going to have it? I mean, is it?
How long am I going to have it?
Indefinitely?
No, I don't know. I don't know until.
But
it just
I'm saying, is it a couple day thing or is it sometimes a couple months thing?
Oh, this has been a couple months, yeah. And
right.
It hopefully will be until Christmas.
Till Christmas.
Now, right. I'm intrigued that your beautiful new bride enjoys it as much as she does, because my understanding is that chicks don't dig mustaches. They're not fun to work with. At least, I mean, kissing a guy with a mustache is. I mean, it just seems like it's kind of icky, right?
You, yeah, and then you worry about kissing last night's dinner. You know,
yeah.
Why all that?
The food, you think and the sanitary. Food's,
really?
Well, you know what? Some people bathe.
It can happen.
Some people bathe.
Yeah.
And
I clean it. I use baby shampoo on it. For my birthday, a friend gave me a mustache comb.
You know, my ex-husband
did have. Comb
there's a separate. It looks like a normal comb, just shrunken down.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I should have brought
that's
it.
That's for lice, by the way. Just so you know, that's not a mustache comb.
What? My ex-husband had a mustache for several years, yeah. Actually.
And?
It was
and?
Fine.
Was it okay?
Didn't bother you?
Right. No.
All right,
really.
Let me ask you this. Last question on the facial hair topic,
no,
and then we have to move on to important things.
I'm here to
things.
Talk to you guys about anything you want.
I appreciate that.
Facial hair.
And my question
and yes.
is, though, when on the street, you're a well-known, famous actor, do fewer people recognize you because of the mustache, or do they all recognize you and just go, hey, it's Jason Schwartzman with a mustache?
You know, honestly, I don't really get recognized that much.
Really?
I really don't. And the people who do recognize me are very nice, but it's not like...
Are you saying that to be humble?
No, I'm serious. I'll tell you, I did this movie, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Right.
Michael Cera's in it.
Uh-huh.
And we've been going around America talking about the movie, and I walk around with him, mm-hmm. And you really... That's a whole different... I mean, people... Everybody recognizes him. And that was the first time that I was like, I knew people didn't recognize me, but that was the time I was like, wow, people really recognize this guy and don't know who
I am. Was there a lot of people handing you a camera saying, can you take a picture of me and Sarah?
I can't tell you how many pictures I've taken in the last 10 days. And they're starting to get more and more surreal, too. Like, I like to just, like, I'll frame Michael out of it and just shoot the person.
Always
shoot
funny.
The crowd or,
I always shoot the heads are off.
I've
I always
taken
go heads
so
down.
Many pictures of yeah. people. And but, yeah, like, he walks around and it's, I mean, it's incredible. Even... We were walking down Toronto. It was like 2 in the morning. We went to go see a late showing of the movie The Other Guys. And we were walking back, and the streets were very empty. But every person who was just like drunk teenager walking back, or not drunk teenager.
No, of course
I'm sorry, drunk 21-year-olds
and over. By teenager, you mean 21.
No, in Canada, they can drink at 18.
Oh, sorry, drunk 18-year-olds and over. I mean, it was amazing the people coming, can I take a picture with you, please, man? Like, and my girlfriend loves you, and it's shocking.
And you two skidding around Jeremy? You come over here.
Hey, Tom Selleck. I want you to take this picture. What about, but thank you for watching that Atlanta Fox News weather report. I asked if we could do the weather, and then they said yes, and they said their actual weatherman was going to come out and do the weather, and we would stand there next to him. But then he never came out.
What's the point of that?
He never came. Well, I don't know, but they didn't tell us. We were just standing there waiting, and the camera just turns on, and Michael's just like looking at the ground and looking. And I'm like, Michael, we're on.
Oh, so you didn't know that you were supposed to actually deliver the weather?
No.
Oh.
And then they left us out there for 2 minutes, so then we just start kind of going nuts. But
That's good.
It was fun. It was a joy.
It was weird. Hey, Jason Schwartzman's here. Of course, Scott Pilgrim versus the World is the movie we have been so looking forward to. It finally opens this Friday. I have to ask, and we got many questions about this movie. Because it has such a rabid comic book fan base, usually those people are the first to weigh in on casting choices. How do they react to Michael Cera being Scott Pilgrim? How do they react to you being cast as your character in the movie, too?
Not a long answer on this. I have no idea. Because
really?
I honestly didn't look it up online, and I know, like, I didn't look it up. I didn't read any.
Did you go to Comic-Con? Were you at Comic-Con?
I did go to Comic-Con, and that was so nerve-wracking. I know you guys were part of that. This is based on this hugely successful graphic novel series.
Right.
These people have been following the book since they've come out and have been following their transformation into a movie, which has taken years, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seeing it for the first time at Comic-Con. We want America to like it. Hopefully, you know,
of course,
the world to like
everyone.
It. But we want the blessing of those people because, you know, they have invested so much time in these characters. You know, they're expecting certain things from the understand that, and it was frightening, and the lights went down, and I was just hoping, you know, that they would just approve of it, and we got...
Did you have an escape route?
I did have an escape route,
when the lights came back on.
I did have an escape route. It's called my mustache. But I was so nervous, and anyway, we got laughs, and then we got another laugh, and it seemed like the room just got so positive so quickly, and they applauded at the end, and I can't tell you what a relief it was.
Wow, that's good.
And so no matter whatever happens, because those fans, those hardcore fans really approve of it, I can't tell you what it means to all of us, you know, honestly, to have them on our side.
Well, I'm not a hardcore fan at all. I've never read the graphic novels or anything. I saw the trailer, and I thought, this looks great.
It does. It really is awesome.
I have to go see it.
It really is.
You're hitting everyone.
It's so honestly, it's so good. I'm not lying. It's really so great, and it's so one of a kind. It's unlike anything I've ever.
For people who haven't spent much time, you know, looking at it or watching the trailer, explain briefly the concept.
Michael Cera, Juno, Superbad, mm-hmm. Youth in Revolt.
Sure.
Recognized everywhere.
Is a young
friend of that guy with the mustache.
Best friend of the guy with the mustache is a young guy in a rock and roll band, which, by the way, Beck did all the music for.
Oh.
All new original songs.
Really?
For this, yes.
I didn't know that.
We can get
awesome.
To that in a second.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael Cera falls in love with this girl, played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And in order to go out with her, he finds out the hard way that he has to defeat her 7 evil exes in these insane fight battles.
Now, you're one of the evil exes.
I'm the 7th and most evil of them all.
Okay. Now, why are you all fighting him for her? Because you're exes.
Because we're exes.
But
because
you're still
we're
protected.
Insane.
You're
we're insane.
Insane. You're insane.
We're insane.
Okay.
It's about
insane
evil. No. It's about she's a good girl, but this becomes a movie about good versus evil.
Okay.
And Chris Evans is in it, who is now Captain America.
Right.
Brandon Routh, Superman.
Sure.
these fights are so incredible, and they're each so different, and It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. Michael Cera is incredible. It was done by Shaun of the Dead director Edgar Wright, which is so good. And but it's not really about comic books or video games, because I don't really know much about comic books or video games, to be honest with you. To me, it's just like an awesome, fun movie about, like, you know how many times you've walked away from a situation wishing you'd done it differently? Like, man, I wish I just said something back. Right. Said something back or...
And then 20 minutes later, you think, oh, well, this would have been great. Why didn't I think about...
This movie appeals to that side. Like, it's, you know, Michael Cera has to defend this girl, and these guys come after him. And all and without explanation, he can fly, punch their faces off, skateboard.
Happens.
I mean, it's and it's so fun, though. Like, when he finally defeats people, instead of, like, dying, they turn into coins or something.
What?
Like, it's just totally surreal. It's so amazing.
I now want to see more.
It's amazing. It really is so unique, and it's so full of so many jokes. I love it.
Well, I'm excited about it. Scott Pilgrim versus the
By
World
the way,
is the name of it. It's this Friday.
I never read a lot of graphic novels. Mm-hmm. I read this series. I read the entire. There's now six. There were five. I read all five of them like before lunch. It's such a great feeling to be able to finish a book that quickly. It takes me like 2 months to read a book. Yeah. I felt so productive. And I was like, why aren't all books just graphic novels, please?
Because I'm with you on that. Words.
Oh, my God. It was the best.
I'm with you on that. I've finished like two books in my life.
I know. I'm still reading Jurassic Park.
Jason Schwartzman is our guest. We'll be right back after this on the Kevin and Bean. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on I guess it's going to be a Wednesday right now. We got the Smokeout coming up. The Cypress Hill Smokeout is happening this year, October 16th at the NOS Event Center. If you want to go, we'll give you a chance to earn your tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. We got a game that involves stoner movies. So if you're a fan of the stoner movies, you got a good chance of winning this one. Incubus is on the bill, Slightly Stupid, Cypress Hill, and so much more. Call now. The ums are coming from our guest, Jason Schwartzman, in studio talking about his Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which opens up everywhere on Friday. By the way, you have a couple of girls in this movie that I just love. Even if you weren't in it, Jason, I may have to go see it for my girlfriend Aubrey Plaza, who I just...
She's great. She's so
fun. She's the best. Oh, my God.
She's
right?
April on Parks and Recreation. Yep. That's probably how most people know her. She was in Funny People, and she's so dry and so funny and so hot, and she looks great in this movie, too.
She is so funny in this movie. She is incredible. Did you guys see her on Jay Leno the other night?
Mm-mm.
It was...
No.
Just
I have a Jay Leno filter on
it
my
was,
TV, sorry.
You should watch her on Jay Leno. It was some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen.
Really?
It was so funny. She is amazing, and the whole cast.
Anna Kendrick, for
Anna
God's sake. Talk about hilarious.
Anna Kendrick, who's amazing. Kieran Culkin is amazing in this movie.
Really?
Chris Evans, Brandon Routh, Michael Cera. This Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who's the female, one of the female leads, is she's so amazing. And it's so cool to work on a movie with all these people who are... You know, basically your own age. When we all went to Comic-Con, we took the train down from L.A. to San Diego.
Right.
We were in this all
Yeah,
this
we know. You were scheduled to be on our show that day.
I know. I couldn't get reception on the train.
Yeah, we remember. You were on the train.
Yeah. How was your guys' show that day?
It was good.
Anyway, but I was going to say that...
We had like a half-hour hold, but
I'm sorry.
Was good.
I felt... I was actually shaking.
No.
I felt so bad.
No.
I looked around the train compartment. I was like thinking, man, we're so lucky to all be in this movie together. We all really like, really genuinely like each other and find each other amusing. It's so cool. And Michael Cera is the captain of that.
How did it come down? Did they ask for you? Did you read the script and want to go get it? What interest did you have?
Well, for me, Edgar Wright initially was who's the director. I loved Shaun of the Dead. I loved Hot Fuzz.
Right, both great.
And he was in town in L.A. and he asked if I could have a coffee with him. It quickly turned into 12 coffees. He loves coffee. And it became the fastest, most detailed conversation I've ever had with someone. I was sweating. He's like, you know. So anyway, during that conversation, I said, well, what are you working on? What's next for you? And he's like, well, I'm writing these books, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I'm adapting them into a script. And I was like, what's that? He's like, oh, you got to read them. You've never heard of them. They're amazing. So I went and bought them.
Right.
And I read them. And I loved them. And it wasn't, you know, we maintained a friendship, but it wasn't until a year later he called me and said,
"Oh, really? So you didn't call him back and say I'd like to be a part of it or anything?"
No. And at that point, you know, a year later, Michael Cera was involved, and Michael Cera, he is just the greatest to me. He's the funniest person and just the smartest person, and from what I've heard, you know, before I met him, the nicest guy.
Right.
And when Edgar Wright and Michael Cera get involved, and you are invited, like it's an,
and they say, would you like to be part of this party?
It's not even, it's, you know, there are some bands, you buy their record, you don't have to hear a lick of music,
right.
You just buy
absolutely.
This is that for me, you know what I mean? Edgar Wright, Michael Cera, yes, I'm there. Whatever you need.
So this
I'm
is
there.
Your Fergie, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes, this is my Fergie.
All right, what's this, Kevin, what's this clip we have from Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Well, you can set it up for us maybe, Jason. This is you with... You know, you're one of the exes. I guess you're the most... You said you're the most evil?
I'm the most evil. And by the way, I'm the most passive-aggressive evil villain I've ever played.
Okay.
I was going to say in the history of movies, but then that would be a lie. But anyway, I'm telling Michael Cera on the phone that I'm sorry about treating him like a jerk earlier. Sorry about all this stuff. I want to be a bigger man. Let's stop playing around. Come to my club. I just opened a club. Come down. Have fun. See you there, buddy.
Hey, pal. I just want to say I feel terrible about earlier. I don't want any hard feelings. So I figured why not be the bigger man and just give you a call.
Is Ramona with you?
I don't know. Are you with me?
She's there. I'm petting her head right there.
Jeez, buddy, it's gonna be all right. No, I just spilled hot cocoa on my crotch.
And you know what's great?
Are you with me?
Michael and I really did. We shot a fight scene. It took 3 weeks to do it. I had to learn how to sword fight for
three
the movie.
3 weeks?
Michael trained for 2 months. Every morning, all of the cast would get together and train all morning long.
Wow. To fight? Different fighting?
We would do conditioning training as a cast class. Push-ups, sit-ups, medicine ball. We had insane trainers. We had Jackie Chan and Jet Li stunt teams combined.
No kidding!
Yes, and then we would eat lunch, and then we'd all break off, because each fight is different. Like, Chris Evans' fight is different than mine. My fight is a sword fight.
And so he had to learn
a skateboard.
All of the
fights. Michael had to learn every fight. For me, I had a sword fighting coach, and I worked with him every day for 6 hours.
So now you're an accomplished sword fighter?
If someone walked into this room and attacked me in the exact same choreography that Michael Cera did, I could fight him. But not. And by the way, the stunt guys, who are amazing and so, like, incredibly in shape, like, you're standing there talking to Michael about, like, the best spaghetti in Toronto. Meanwhile, there's, like, guys having a flipping contest to your left. But I will say that these stunt guys, though they're nice, do like to let you know that, yes, you are trained, but you are an actor, and I could kill you instantly.
Right.
And
right.
I remember one time I was, like, feeling very confident with my sword, and I was like, you know, I felt very proud of myself, and the guy's like, just so you know, I mean, if this was a real sword fight, all I'd have to do is BAM! And he, like, literally put a knife to my chest, and he's like, right now you'd be dead. I could have just killed you.
That's awesome.
That's what it's really like. And I was like, okay, I get it. I'm an actor. You're real.
I don't think I'm a real fighter. It's all good.
It was insane, but...
have a clip from the fight, too, if you'd like to hear that.
I wonder how that played, but look at that. Ah! Yes! Flying! Kicking! Whoa, good.
It's my favorite part.
Oh, nice move, Jason.
Thank you.
I mean, that really looks like a good fight.
Yeah.
And this wasn't a deal breaker for you when you realized you were going to have to train for 6 hours a day?
Hell no. Because I've always, when you read these interviews with, like, Tobe Maguire, people who, like, train for these movies, you go, man, that must be incredible.
Yeah, like stunt driving, sometimes they get to learn.
Actors get to learn all this stuff. And I've never really been a part of a movie where they hire a team of people to train you to do something so unusual. Yeah. So when Edgar Wright said, you're going to do all of your own stunts, which Michael and I really did, by the way. And I was so excited. I got to wear one of those harnesses, and they pull you in the air. You go flying like 30 feet up there.
Awesome. Yeah.
Which is the most fun until you look to your left, and you realize the way they're lifting you up is a guy who's 5 times your weight, but all muscle, jumping off of a ladder with a rope in his hand, and his counterweight pulls you up. And that's frightening. And then what's more frightening is the bottle of NyQuil you happen to see, like, in his back pocket. I'm like, get me off the thing. But I had bruises on my inner thigh that were sexy.
From the harness?
Oh, no, just from some people I met up in Toronto.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes, from the harness.
Yes.
I mean, it was so physical and so much fun. And I've never worked on a scene that took 3 weeks to shoot. In fact, I got married during the middle of my fight scene. It was scheduled. My wedding was planned a year before. I could barely walk. I could barely walk before and after my wedding.
He got married during his fight scene.
Well, what happened was I shot my fight scene for 10 days, flew home to Los Angeles, married my wife, and the next morning we both flew to Toronto. God bless her for spending her honeymoon on set with me while doing my fight scene. And if you watch the fight scene closely, you can see a difference in my style.
Sure.
Pre and
in between the two?
Yes.
Yeah. Did she have to carry you down the aisle?
She did. Yeah, she did. I was piggyback. I was like, piggyback! But it was amazing. And, you know, and Michael, like, yeah, as you were saying, he had to learn all these fights. It was so amazing. And
that is great.
Because you don't think of him as athletic.
Not at all.
That's why he's great casting for this movie, too, though, and why he's so impressive in the role, I think. Because
the movie, because it is about, like, just all, like, normal people who all of a sudden have to do extraordinary things.
Right.
And unlike superhero movies where a person is bitten and then they have a power or some, you know, there's no explanation as to why Michael's a normal slacker bass player in a band and all of a sudden can jump 40 feet in the air and, like, kick the crap out of somebody.
Because it's what needs to be done
exactly.
for his lady. That's
exactly.
Why.
And so it's just fun. Like, I think it's for everybody because it is, like, just a fun movie. It's, like, insane.
Well,
right,
we're
out of time.
We're out of time. Yeah, we always feel like people think that we're blowing smoke up your ass, and you always think that they think you're blowing smoke up our ass. But every time you're in a movie, we're in.
Oh yeah, man,
we're in. And this looks fantastic.
And
then also you've got Bored to Death coming back in September. So when that happens, maybe you can come back in.
I'm yours.
Right.
End of September. Lots of leather in that.
I don't
one
want
this
you
year.
To be ours.
Lots of leather. But lots of leather.
You know what I mean? Lots of leather.
All right.
Okay.
Go see Scott Pilgrim versus the World on Friday. Yes, Jason. We're trying to say goodbye. What?
I can't. I hate saying goodbye to you guys because you are my favorite people. So
we'll be back soon.
Thank
don't
you
worry.
For having me. And no smoke up your ass unless you're into that sort of thing.
Get the hell out.
And goodbye, Los Angeles. I love you all.
All right. You're not are you dying?
Goodbye, Scott Pilgrim. First of the world. I love you.
Okay, bye.
All right. It's time. Cypress Hill Smokeout, October 16th at the NOS Event Center. It includes Incubus, Slightly Stupid, and, of course, Cypress Hill. So many more bands on the bill. We're going to give away tickets right now. Hey, what's this one called? I don't think I even got the memo.
It's time for Movie Palooza. What movie is that clip from? You'll go see the Smokeout. Palooza, Palooza, Palooza.
Movie Palooza with your host Keanu Reeves. Actor Keanu Reeves returns to the Kevin DeBean Show. How are you, Keanu?
Or do I?
You're right here. We're looking at you in the studio.
Yes.
You helped us host yesterday's game.
Yes.
That was great.
Yes, I did.
It was very nice. You're going to help us today. Now explain
or
to
am
the...
I?
Well, yeah, we hope. Explain to the listeners how they play.
We'll be playing, I believe, a clip from a classic film that somehow involves marijuana.
And you like the pot, right, Keanu?
Yes.
Okay.
It's excellent. Or all you have to do is identify the film, and you will be put in a pair of drawings.
A pair of drawings?
Or you'll have tickets put. You'll put your tickets in a drawing.
I think
you
your name goes in a drawing,
and then you will have a name.
No, everyone
your name
who...
will be drawn.
Yes,
on a piece of paper.
Yes, that is correct. Your name will be drawn if you win. Right.
Right.
All right. Well, let's see how the game is played.
Do a caricature of your name.
Okay. Let's start with the contestant number one on line one. This is going to be Riley.
Ah,
hey,
Riley.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Riley.
Hi.
Riley, identify this film.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Oh, dude, I don't know about you, but I'm hungry as balls.
Yeah, no shit, dude. Let's eat.
What about KFC?
Yeah. No. We've been there too many times. I want something we haven't had in a while. I want the perfect food.
That should be pretty easy.
Oh, no, I'm, like, completely blanking.
Yeah.
Oh, Riley.
So am I.
The perfect food. The perfect food is in the title of the movie.
Where would these stoners go to eat the perfect food?
Oh, no.
Dude in the background not helping.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, we were looking for Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle is the movie we're looking for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, Riley.
I was excellent in that film.
I don't believe you were in that one.
I played Neil Patrick Harris.
All right, let's
how
try.
Good I am.
Kristen lied to you're an outstanding actor. Wow. Kristen, you're on with Keanu Reeves. You ready to identify the movie?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Kristen. Please identify this stoner film.
You said someone's toking some reefer.
No, I said somebody was smelling some pot. An observation.
Oh, an observation, huh? Well, who the hell are you, man? Isaac f***ing Newton? Well, guess what, genius? I'm the one smoking marijuana, motherfucker. You got a problem with that?
No, of course not.
Why'd you say that, chief?
All right.
What
Stoner
do you think,
movie. Which one is it?
Oh, my God.
Only one of the best movies ever. Just ask Lisa May.
The worst.
Half-Baked?
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
No, sorry. It was Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, yes. Sorry. Thank
Why
you.
Are we asking women about movies?
What are you talking about?
They never remember any movie lines. only dudes do.
You could be right about that. Let's try it. We got another female contestant on the line. Margarita is next on line three, Keanu. Ah, let's see how she does.
Margarita.
Hello.
Hello. Identify this film.
I witnessed a murder.
We should call the police right away.
We can't call the police. The police were the murderers. Look, we gotta get the F out of here. Are you high?
What? No, I'm not high. What?
You are high as a kite.
I'm not high.
Pineapple
Express. Pineapple
Express
is right.
There you go.
Nicely done.
Yes.
You hold on.
Or is it?
It is.
It is. Seth yes. Rogen's voice is definitely helpful there in that case. All right, let's try Loti. Loti on line four.
Okay. I'm sorry?
You got it right.
What?
You got it right.
Loti.
It is Loti.
Loti?
Okay.
Loti,
yes.
Loti?
Right.
We've
established that. Is that a Vulcan name? Are you related to Spock?
Loti. All right. Stand by, Keanu. Loti, listen up. Here's your film.
I'm here today because I'm addicted to marijuana.
You in here for some marijuana? Man, this is some bullshit.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck for coke.
I seen them.
Now that's an addiction, man. You ever suck some for marijuana?
That would be half-baked.
That would be half-baked.
Yes, Loti.
Nicely done, Loti.
All right, do we have time for just one more?
Yeah, let's squeeze in one more.
Marcel, line five.
Hello.
Hello, Marcel. Hello. Identify this stoner film.
Light it up. Let's get Chinese eyes, man.
Hey, what kind of joint is this, man?
Oh, it's a heavy-duty joint, man.
It looks like a toothpick, man.
No, it's not a toothpick, man.
No, hey, it is a toothpick, man.
Oh, man, it is a toothpick.
Oh, come on. You guys got to make it harder than that. Up in smoke.
That's right.
Yeah!
Up in smoke.
Oh,
sorry, it wasn't hard enough.
Look, we did Harold and said. Kumar go to White Castle and Dazed and Confused, and no one got those two, so we don't know how hard to make them. Congratulations.
All right, we got three winners, I think, in the drawing right now. Lisa May, who's going to go see The Smokeout with Cypress Hill?
It's Loti.
Oh, Loti.
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 I believe Loti will be high tea.
Loti.
Oh, at The Smokeout. I'm sorry, only dogs can hear you now.
This is Moviepalooza. Thanks for playing our little game.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:55.
Jeffrey Ross is the Roastmaster General talking about the Comedy Central roast of David Hasselhoff. He joins us next on the Kevin Amin Show. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Oh, can't wait for Glee to come back. Can't wait. Omar and I were just talking about that. He is really waiting to get back.
He's there
Glee.
With you?
He loves it.
Apparently, it is official. People Magazine is reporting that Britney Spears will indeed appear on the episode of Glee that is dedicated to her music.
Is that right?
Yeah. She's going to show up as a science experiment. They're going to look at her scalp. They're going to try to figure what the hell's going on there.
What happened?
One of the classrooms, they'll dissect her filthy, disgusting, pus-filled scalp. Oh, leave Britney alone! She is foul. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame celebrates its 15th anniversary this year. Can't believe it's already been around for 15 years.
Have you been yet, Ralph?
I have. I was there when I was in Canton for the Hall mm-hmm. of Fame game a couple seasons ago. When
it's impressive,
the
right?
Eagles were playing. It's very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I would like it. It was way bigger and way better than I expected when I finally got there.
Is it in Cleveland?
It is in Cleveland.
You walk
it is,
out yeah. the front doors. Are you in Cleveland?
Yes.
It's very pretty, though. It's right on Lake Erie. It's a nice place to visit.
Cleveland rocks, Kevin. You don't even know.
No.
No, it really is impressive. They've got one hall just filled with rock and roll costuming that people have worn over the years, like the Kiss costumes and Elton John's costumes and people. And it's
you
just,
need a hall just for Elton John's costumes.
It is
though,
just
don't
mannequin
they?
After mannequin wearing famous clothing that you've seen all your life from rock stars and things like that. It's fascinating. Anyway, they are celebrating. How do you think? How do you think, Kevin? How are they going to celebrate? Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 15th anniversary.
Have a concert?
A concert?
Nope.
Rock concert?
New Elvis Presley exhibit.
Yes!
They're going to show photos of Elvis from 1956, the year he first became a superstar. Here's the thing you have to wrap your mind around. This is why the guy died at 42 on the toilet. Trying to push out a Memphis vlog. He was 21 years old that year. That's when he became the biggest star on the planet.
Right.
If you were 21 years old and someone gave you all the money, drugs, alcohol, and women you could do.
You know I would kill
how
myself.
How long would you last?
Yeah, I would last a week.
It's amazing he lasted 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that will be happening September 13th. The exhibit will open. So you can
check
that
out. Elvis was still around. What would he be doing if he was around today?
He'd go,
yeah. Still working on that.
Still working on it. The Elvis of today, Justin Bieber, has just announced he is now a spokesperson for Proactiv. He gets zits just like everyone else.
No way.
Yes. He will talk about all the problems that teenagers go through, like your raging hormones, your zits, and your feet getting bigger, it says here.
Wow.
That's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see he's making some extra cash. David Beckham, as you know, is very close friends with Tom Cruise.
Oh. He's going to be playing soccer again here soon, by the way.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. All right, Kevin.
Next, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I'm going to be flying.
I'm telling you,
flying my own airplane from here to Schenectady, New York later this week too.
All right.
Let me check it out. He may not be playing soccer, Kevin, because Tom Cruise apparently wants him to co-star with him in the new Mission Impossible 4. He wants him to play his friend and co-agent in that film.
Okay.
He wants Beckham to become an action star so they can work together.
Gee, I wonder which one Beckham would rather do.
Yeah. You know.
You can make movies when your ankle hurts.
Yeah, true.
That's all I know. Can you imagine Beckham as an action star?
Yes, I'm going to stop you, you evil man.
Soft spoken.
I'm going to get my gun out and then shoot you, and then we're going to take all the secrets that you know and then put them back where they belong. Stop, or I'll shoot you, evil man.
He does not very have intimidating, an authoritative voice, if
no,
that's what you're
no,
saying.
No, he does not. That's
soccer was invented by European ladies to keep them busy while their husbands did the cooking.
I'm part of the Mission Impossible Force, and we will do whatever it takes to stop you.
And Emma Watson.
Yeah.
Ooh. Of course, a multi-million dollar star of the Harry Potter series. Maybe going from one franchise to another. Word is she has the inside track for the coveted role of Lisbeth Salander.
Wow.
Which you may know of if you've read the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series, that trilogy from Stieg Larsson. Daniel Craig has signed on to be the hero of that book, and she apparently is in talks to play the computer programmer Lisbeth. And if you've seen her hair recently, she chopped it all off. She's got a short, spiky hairdo, as does the character in the book.
What?
Symbolic of something else, perhaps.
That's a huge role right there an actress to get. Yeah.
Big role. Apparently, Kristen Stewart, Natalie Portman, Keira Knightley, Scarlett Johansson, and Zoe Saldana have all been named as potentially taking over that role, but apparently she's got the inside track. So she literally would go from one huge franchise to another if that were to happen.
Yeah, that'd be something.
And she would have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And she's 12.
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak is 60 years old today. Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie is 34. Chris Kelly, Mac Daddy of Chris Cross, is 32. Asher Roth turns 25. And Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster, celebrates his 57th birthday. Hulk, what are your plans to celebrate your birthday today?
You got to be cool and eat fruit.
Coward.
Sell out.
You're a coward. You are a coward of mythic proportions.
You're a chicken.
You are a weenie.
I thought you guys would enjoy hearing the real Hulkster this hour.
It's the only impression Bean does.
Yeah, you do one voice. We ask once a year. We ask you to do a voice, and you just bail. You're the bailer.
I'll work. I'm the bailer. I'm the new bailer.
You're that kid who got out of the way of the foul ball that hit his girlfriend. That's who you are. You're the bailer. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Live from the OnStar Studios at K-Rock, we have Jeffrey Ross.
Everybody knows William Shatner breeds horses, which is a nice way to say that he f***ed them. Are you too fast to get on a horse? That was crazy. Did you hear the horse went, no! Courtney Love, you're like the girl next door. If you happen to live next to a methadone clinic, how is it possible that Courtney Love looks worse than Kurt Cobain? Ma'am, just for the record, I think it's kind of hypocritical that you care so much about animal rights since you've been torturing your own for years.
You cannot have a roast without our next comic, but it would be great if for once we tried. Please welcome living proof that Jews run Hollywood, Jeffrey Ross.
Yeah. He is the Roastmaster General, and he returns to your TV on Comedy Central this Sunday night at 10 for the roast. We have been much anticipating. David Hasselhoff is the victim. Hey, Jeffrey, how are you, man?
I'm feeling good. Thanks for that tribute.
Absolutely. It's like you're dead.
Oh, it's like, I'm right remembering here. You.
I don't know what's going on with the comedy hair today, but Jason Schwartzman was with us last hour with an enormous mustache, and then you walk in with a Jufro. What's going on today with all the celebrities and their crazy hair?
Jeffrey didn't exactly doll up.
It's a Jeffro.
It's a Jeffro, right. Yeah. That's the biggest hair I've seen on you in a long time.
They call me Seth Rogaine.
And those two shirts, you've been wearing them for how many days, honestly?
I bought them on Bainbridge Island at the Urban Outfitters right off the ferry about 4 days ago, and I haven't taken them off.
You haven't? Have you slept at all? You haven't showered, obviously, but have you gotten any sleep in the 4 days? Or
I got half a shower. I got my feet in, and it was too cold, and I was going to be late. And then I just put whatever was close by on. I almost put the Speedo on from the Hasselhoff roast just to make a little show for you guys, but it was too tight to drive in.
Let's talk about the Hasselhoff roast, because that's
a Speedo.
That's this Sunday night. Yeah, we'll get to the Speedo in a second. But it's almost like picking on a retarded kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, making fun of Hasselhoff is almost not possible because he's too cartoonish.
For this metaphor to work, you would have to say that picking on a retarded kid wouldn't be funny. So,
well, that's what I meant.
No.
I'm sorry.
So you're saying it was low-hanging fruit, and why make fun of a punchline?
I'm saying it's almost... You can't parody him.
That was the challenge. And I got to tell you, to be honest, when I got the call, you know, it's like your summer is like, okay, think about David Hasselhoff now for a month. And I wasn't into it. You know, I was like, oh, I don't know, man. Maybe, you know, somebody cooler, you know, like in New York in a couple months, we're roasting Quentin Tarantino. And I was like, that's going to be really cool.
Right.
Samuel L. Jackson's going to be the roast master. It's not going to be on TV. It'll be on, it's a Friars charity roast. And I said, that's a hip one. And I was like hemming and hawing. And, you know, thinking about it, John Mayer, the guitar player, rock star, I happen to be... run into him, and he's like, hey man, I go to my shows, I want to play some cool blues song, but the fans want to hear at some point Your Body Is a Wonderland.
Sure.
So give him that. Play, go for the big target, the big all-American, you know, you can make a billion jokes, don't be so hip.
Okay.
And
so he talked you into it.
He basically talked me into it, and it wasn't easy, and I realized that he's like, right. And I happened to mention it to Lampanelli. I said, you know, they want to roast Hasselhoff. And before I even finished Hasselhoff, she said, people are going to watch that. And
I got it.
I'm always trying to be hip and make the comics laugh and be, you know, and you're right. It's like, okay, I get
it. This one's for the people.
Exactly. I like that.
But my fear, and I totally agree with the premise of Kevin's question, but my fear also is that there have been times in the last couple of years where we felt like David Hasselhoff was going to overdose and die. And at some point it crosses the line from this guy's a funny drunk to this guy seriously has a problem.
Right.
Do we have an obligation to not poke fun at that? And then I decided, no, we don't have that obligation at all.
And I will say, I like David Hasselhoff a lot more, having roasted him, having... watch the way he handled himself at his roast. He was very dignified, and he was funny.
Don't you have to go into that, though, going, I'm going to smile and laugh at every joke regardless of what it is because I know the spotlight, the camera's going to be on me? I mean, isn't that like...
You would think, but Joan Rivers got pissy after her roast, and people get a little pissy.
Yeah.
It's probably hard for that extended period of time to keep that face up.
Yeah.
I mean, it cracks every once in a while.
And then I got an email this morning saying that he was going to watch the roast at his house and was inviting the roasters over.
No,
so I go,
kidding.
This guy is going the extra mile to be a good sport.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Did you find his, he gets up and he roasts you at the end, right? And he talks about everybody on the dais at the end, right?
Right.
Did he have help with those, or were they off the cuff?
Oh, man.
Never gets old.
So he plays it off as if he's in on the joke and we're all laughing with him, not at him, which is the smart way to go.
Like any good comic.
But that's what bugs me.
Why?
Because we're laughing at him.
Because we are laughing at him, and he's not in on the joke.
He is.
No, he isn't.
No, we explain the jokes to him during the commercials.
Oh, I see. No, I'm just saying in life.
He's not in on the joke.
No, he really,
of
like...
Of course he is.
He's not at all.
Our experience.
Well, we've had a couple of experiences with him. One was we had him on the phone.
Right.
And he told us that he hadn't touched alcohol since college.
serious.
Like, he was serious.
We've heard this from everyone. I've been sober for a year.
Right, but this was like, I don't know.
Right after the video where he was on the floor.
Right, his daughter was saying, tell me you're going to stop. And he was like, I'm going to stop. Remember that?
I did ask him how his chain of all-you-can-eat-off-the-floor restaurants was coming along.
But, I mean, he's a guy who, like, tries to just pull the wool over people's eyes. He also... He seems like, and this is what I would attack, is he seems like he loves being David Hasselhoff. Like, that's, if he could pick anyone in the world to be, he wouldn't change.
He made it work. And who doesn't love the attention, even when there's a target on your forehead? And the whole show's around him. And I'll tell you one more thing that occurs to me.
100 different people. If I could.
I'm taking one of my dirty shirts off.
He would be him. You know what I mean? Like,
he would be him.
Yeah.
He's designed his life.
He loves him.
You know, and you know, at the after party, he's like taking credit for Pam Anderson's career to me. He's like, hey, we put her in Baywatch. So he feels like he's a little bit of a rock on tour.
That's what I'm saying.
A businessman. So he has a grip on it. And, you know, we made fun of his singing for this whole roast. He went on in the end, and he hit every note. He sang at the end of the show. I don't want to ruin too much, but he kind of proved the jokes wrong. Like, he held his tune.
But was he singing Jump in My Car, one of those ridiculously stupid songs?
Yes, but, well, yeah.
I mean, how do you
What
not...
do you want him to do, sing Ave Maria?
No. You know, the truth is, he is a wildly successful businessman.
His nipples have been on television more than all of us in this room put together times 100.
It's a shame, but that's true.
He's a major...
I'd like to see yours more.
Superstar.
You see plenty of Jeffries on the
special.
Come on,
OnStar, right there.
let's talk about what you're wearing when you come out on the special.
I wanted to play special tribute.
Let's take a break. Okay. We have to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about your special tribute.
And talk about the Roastmaster General in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show today, our friend Jeffrey Ross. Comedy Central roast of David Hasselhoff is going to be airing this Sunday night at 10 on Comedy Central. They taped it, though, a week ago or something like that. And now we're just sitting around and waiting for it. And what of course, you're not the Roastmaster technically this time. That's Seth MacFarlane, the Family Guy fame. Who I think is great. Who else on the dais? Who did you love?
Hulk Hogan. His birthday's today. Happy birthday, Hulk Hogan.
Sure.
I had a great joke. I said, Hulk Hogan, what are you hiding underneath that bandana? I know it's not career opportunities. He looks like Dog the Pastrami Hunter. You know, I don't know what jokes will make the cut, but it was pretty out there.
Jerry Springer is on the panel.
Jerry Springer. I did the impossible, guys. I offended Jerry Springer.
How do you do that? He can't be offended.
That's what I thought, and that was my challenge.
So you said, I need to offend him.
I said, I did a bunch of jokes about Hasselhoff being big in Germany, and here I am now, finally, a Jew gets to roast a German. I did, the only difference between Hitler and Hasselhoff, at least Hitler knew when his career was over.
Oh, man.
So then I look at Jerry Springer.
This is why Jeffrey Ross is the best at these roasts, because he just goes for it.
Springer's sitting there, and I look at him, and I see him, like, tense up, because he knows I'm going after him.
Right.
And I'm like, you know... Hey, and by the way, you know, Jerry Springer, I did some Googling. His parents, and this is true, his parents are Holocaust survivors.
Right, right.
As a Jew, it was the first time I ever wished. Why couldn't the Nazis have killed 6 million and two?
Oh, man.
Jerry Springer goes ballistic. You can just see his eyes like, I did not sign up for this.
Well, yeah, he didn't.
Of course I dropped it too soon. Too soon? Too bad. And he went right over to me in the commercial break. He's like, I don't understand, man. He was just flummoxed.
In your face?
Oh, yeah. He did not like it.
What did you say?
I said, hey, man, it's a roast.
It's a roast, yeah.
It's supposed to be irreverent. It's supposed to be all of that, yeah.
And by the time
did he back off?
He backed. By the time he went on and made fun of everyone else, I think he got it. Yeah. And I was just doing more of that.
Right.
I was just
on doing it better.
Right. And, and more vicious. And I think he appreciated the art of the insult better having done the roast. So I think he turned on that. In the end, he was a good sport, but he was shocked.
This is one of the reasons we love Jeffrey. New York Magazine named him the meanest man in comedy.
It comes from a place of affection.
I love that.
Weird.
He is. Jeff is the nicest
guy. He comes in, he's so sweet, and then I see him, and I go, how does...
And here's the difficult part. I think the difficult part is to their faces.
Yeah,
that's the difficult
part. The admirable part, too.
Yeah, that's why I love him. I mean, you're looking at Courtney Love, and she's sitting 5 feet from you when you say, how do you look?
The only way I would ever do these roasts is if you do them to someone's face.
Yeah.
I don't make fun of celebrities in my act. I make fun of the people right in front of me.
Right.
You know, it has to come from, otherwise it's piling on, it's bullying, you know.
But if she's sitting right, what was the joke? Because I would say it wrong.
For Courtney Love. I had a couple, you know. You're the like one the girl next door if you happen to live next door to a methadone clinic.
Right.
How is it possible that Courtney Love looks worse than Kurt Cobain?
That was the one. That was the one, and I was like, that's my hero. I don't know how you say that to somebody, but it was awesome.
Thank you. She went into rehab the next day. Roasting saves lives.
Jeff, I'm a huge fan of a woman who is not a big name yet, but I think she should be. I think she's hilarious. Whitney Cummings is on the
list. Oh, yeah, man.
I love her so much. How is she?
She's a great gal. She was writing for the roast for a few years, giving me and some of the other people our best lines. You know, it's like I'd show up that day and she'd hand me like three great jokes.
That were better than what you had written?
No, but you know, you add it on. You know, you see if you can work it in. Or I hand it over to Gilbert if it doesn't fit what I'm saying.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I love that. You know, I love, they're like precious to me. They're like money in the pocket.
Right.
I don't always use them, but I always appreciate them. They gave me a great Pam Anderson joke when I showed up the other day. I didn't use, Pam, what happened to you? You know, if they ever do a home improvement reunion, you're going to be the one who has to stand behind the fence. But I wanted to bang Pam, so I couldn't say it. So I gave it to somebody else. You know, we'll see if it makes the air.
Did someone else say it?
I can't remember. I was so wasted by the time the show got going.
That's the other thing about these roasts is that they do drink, and that's good.
Yes, they do. It's so hilarious that you film the whole thing, but you have no idea what's going to end up making the broadcast.
No, I don't. And I kind of love that, too. You know, they don't edit that much. It's an hour and a half show, so the most of it's in there.
What percentage? 90% of what you do is in there?
Joel Gowan, the director, told me the other day I did 12 and a half minutes. I can't imagine they're going to use more than five.
Really?
So it'll be, you know, and then the DVD, there'll be a little bit more.
That's the one, yeah.
So if you're in the house, you really feel that rhythm. But it's good. You know, you want to see the Titan TV version. You know, you want to sit back, smoke them if you got them, and hear the best jokes.
I definitely want to see that, but I want to see the other two. I mean,
you'll come next time.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, that would be so much fun.
That'll be the ticket.
Yeah.
Let's hear just a very brief clip from the roast of, this is some of Jeffrey Ross, who, by the way, I don't think we even mentioned this. You show up with the fro, you've got the leather coat on and no shirt and like bikini briefs or something, right? What the hell are you wearing?
Black sequin Speedo in honor of the Hoff's famous 80s. Knight Rider poster.
Yeah.
My own special way of paying tribute.
An awesome look. Here's one of the jokes from the Comedy Central roast of David Hasselhoff airing this Sunday night on Comedy Central.
The Hoff once flew into a breathalyzer and the breathalyzer said, whoa, whoa, one at a time, people.
There had to be a lot of drinking jokes there that night.
The Hoff's liver is so fat and black it's starring in the next Tyler Perry movie.
More with Jeffrey Ross right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Jeffrey Ross in studio, the Roastmaster General, Comedy Central roast of David Hasselhoff is going to be this Sunday night at 10 on Comedy Central. Jeff, I only see you when you're on this show, when you're nice enough to come in every couple of months or so, but I feel like I know what's going on with you because I follow your tweets. And you're having...
Real Jeffrey Ross.
Yes. You and your best friend in the whole world, P. Diddy, seem to have quite a love affair going on the internet.
He's constantly tweeting me and I'm constantly retweeting his tweets.
He tweets you directly?
No, but I pretend he does.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He'll be like, getting on a private jet, headed to Morocco, let's go! With like 8 exclamation points, and I'll be like, you know, damn, just got this, sorry. You know, he's got 2 million followers, so it's fun to, I'm sure I'm a gnat on his shoulder, but whatever.
I don't think he pays any attention to anyone but himself anyway.
I think he probably just looks in the mirror all day long and says, I'm great!
Yep.
With 8 exclamation points.
Always. Yeah.
That's what's crazy. I'm trying to figure out what's going on mentally with him that he feels the need to tweet as much as he does and the stuff that he tweets.
It's always about plugging his vodka and his music. But
it's also about how rich he is and famous, though, a lot.
But I also respect him in some ways. I mean Get Him to the Greek, he was hilarious.
It was
in that
great
movie.
In that. Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, he's got that thick skin. He's a talented guy, so I can mock him incessantly on Twitter.
And Kanye, you mock Kanye?
Kanye just burst into the Twitter scene, and his tweets are really ridiculous. I got him at like 3 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
He's always like, I got the greatest leather pants collection in the world. You know, sometimes I just, you don't even, the jokes are just there.
Right,
you know?
You just have to retweet it and not do anything.
Right, so it's fun. Twitter's perfect for comics because you can, 140 characters, it's like your best one-liners. Plus, you can mock celebrities, which is for me is like
of course,
that's a candy store.
Yeah. Do you like the personal interaction with your fans? Because you hear directly from them, like you're barely off stage at a show and you know how it went from people who are online, right?
It's really great. You know, it's like the instant gratification of getting a laugh almost you get through Twitter. I met a girl in a club the other night. She's like, follow me on Twitter. I was like, I'm going to follow you in real life. Enough.
David Hasselhoff is on Twitter, but he's not doing much with it yet, except to push his website, I guess.
Yeah, he's got his daughters coming out on a reality show. His daughters were at the roast. They're very cute. They're very sweet.
Aren't they? How old are they?
They're 17 and 20, so I didn't want to be too hard on them. I did say, hey, you know, ladies, I hear you want to go into show business. And the good news is talent skips a generation, so you're probably very talented.
I saw the video. We were. Did you go to Comic-Con this year?
I didn't make it.
Okay, we were down there, and we did not see Hasselhoff in person, but I saw YouTube videos of him, and he had a giant van down there that was all painted up, and he was walking around the streets lip-syncing to his records down Main Street in San Diego. What was that about?
He loves to hear him sing, you know. Right, brags how he sang at the fall of the Berlin Wall. I wouldn't take it as a compliment if people broke down barriers to get away from the sound of my voice.
No, but when he said that, he took partial credit for the wall falling.
He did. And we were like, unbelievable.
But it didn't seem from watching those videos like he was promoting this roast or anything in particular except for how great he is.
Just the Hoff thing. The Hoff
him
thing.
Being him.
I told him for Baywatch he should have gotten a special Emmy just for holding his stomach in for 11 seasons. By the end, he had the biggest boobs on the show, and he really did run in slow motion.
I wonder what a guy like him does now. Because he can't really get... I mean, I guess you could, with the right set of writers and circumstances, you could put him in a television comedy. But he certainly couldn't do anything serious at this point.
I don't know. Couldn't he? Could do another, you know... Knight Rider-ish, over-the-top Hoffian experiment?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he's...
He's too big. He's too iconic now. He's too well-known for being the Hoff at this point.
Which is not a positive, I think. Well, I don't know. When he did Baywatch, no one knew who he was, so who cared? But now that they know who he is, I don't know if he can pull that off.
Well, that's what I said.
Hoff, sorry.
I did kind of allude at the end that, you know, he was a huge star and we would all be rooting for him in whatever step he takes next in his career, which will probably be falling off the stage. So I think he'll probably do these kind of William Shatner-esque projects where it's about his personality. And I don't know. He's doing a reality show. I mean, I'd be curious to see what he's going to do next. I thought the roast was a good way to hit the reset button, to go, I'm laughing at myself. I get it. It doesn't matter if I'm drinking or not. I'm going to be the Hoff. I have a billion fans in a billion countries.
But he doesn't get it, though.
He was laughing it up. He seemed to love the attention, so I think it's a mystery.
Well, it looks really, really funny. Real quick before you go, what's next for you think?
I am going to take a couple days off for the summer. My book just came out on paperback. I only roast the ones I love. Busting balls without burning bridges.
I like it.
And I'll come back in the fall with some new ideas and a couple of big announcements.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A couple of big
I'm looking forward to seeing you on American Idol. It's going to be great to have a new judge.
I'll be taking over for Simon and Randy.
I would watch that show if you were a judge.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. By the way,
I would watch that show in a second. I don't know why I hate that show, but I would watch that show if you were a judge.
I love singers. I would be the greatest judge. I want to put that out there right now.
You would make every one of them cry, though. You
right,
know that.
And that would be great. And they shoot the show in high def, and I am high end def, so I would be the greatest judge.
Well, you are the funniest, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for coming back in on the Kevin and Bean Show. And folks, don't miss the Comedy Central roast of David Hasselhoff this Sunday night at 10 on Comedy Central. Have a great day, dude.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5 minutes till 9 o'clock.
In the next half hour, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, not only do we talk to actress Amber Tamblyn, but how about this? A little band by the name of Muse stopped by the mighty flagship station of the Kevin and Bean Show yesterday, and we've got highlights of that interview. All I want to say is a friend of ours with a tale interviewed Muse. So you'll hear highlights next half hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Is our new DJ the Cappuccino Monkey?
No.
Is that who did it?
I wish.
Yeah. My DJ's a monkey. I have a new documentary. I like it. It's very entertaining.
Before I get to the Showbiz news, the troubling news.
coming out regarding the Michael Clark Duncan versus Kevin Ryder battle that planning. Yeah,
it's not happening because I'm not going
to. It's happening. It's just we've got some negotiations, some issues to work out. Unfortunately, we heard from the Duncan camp this morning, and they want Olympic-style blood doping testing, which I think, seriously, how can Kevin possibly pass that?
He'll have to buy some clean urine and sneak it into the room when they test it, obviously.
Yeah, we'll use Mike's blood.
There you go.
But it's,
didn't get around it that way.
I mean, given the number of granola bars Kevin eats on a regular basis, I don't know if it's possible he could ever pass that test.
How dare you.
Yes, I would like some water. What did you do?
I'm not fighting Michael Clark Duncan, by the way.
By the way, you are, whether you agree to it or not. You're fighting him.
I don't
care. We have to knock on your door at 2 o'clock in the morning.
He's going to jump in the parking lot?
It's happening.
Maybe. Maybe he will.
You may not know when or
where. I don't want to fight him.
But it's happening. Interesting list come from TVGuide.com today. Top paid TV actors.
Top paid TV actors.
Very fascinating list given who they are and how much talent they have.
Now, does that include the Oprahs of the world, the talk shows, or is
these are actors? The top 10 TV actors on television. I think Oprah may be acting quite often when she's on her show, but it's not official.
Okay.
Well, I know the first name that came to my mind. Or do you not want us to guess?
No, you can guess. Feel free.
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, famously
gets all the press for being the highest paid actor on TV.
And he is number one on the list. Yes, with $1.25 million per episode.
And they do an episode a week, basically.
They do.
Okay.
Not quite a week. 4 days.
4 days.
Yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus came to my mind. Because of her pedigree with Seinfeld and stuff, they probably have to pay her a bunch of dough.
Let's see where she falls on the list. Just scanning. It's a long list. There's like 50 names on here. Her name is not jumping out at me. She's not in the top 10, that's for sure.
No.
But I thought there were some interesting names on the list. Way down on the list, for example, you've got Miranda Cosgrove from iCarly.
Yeah.
So creepy when being said.
I know.
Well, she's fairly well known.
I didn't know
who it
was.
She is making $180,000 per episode.
Wow.
Now, right under her at $175,000 per episode is Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie. That just seems out of whack for me when it comes to talent.
Yeah.
Well, it's not talent, it's ratings.
I know, it's what you're worth.
Popularity.
And iCarly,
and she's worth
isn't.
So much for merchandising to Disney that it's worth paying her the money, I guess.
Yeah. But here's the rest of your top 10. John Cryer is right under his co-star from 2.5 Men at number 2 with $550,000 per episode.
All right.
You know, he's got to work almost twice as hard to make his $1 million per episode. You know, every two episodes he's making $1 million.
He's a good actor.
Then 3, 4, 5, and 6 is a tie with the gals from Desperate Housewives. They all make $400,000 an episode each.
Wow.
That's Marcia Cross, Terry Hatcher, Felicity Huffman, and Eva Longoria Parker.
That show's still on?
It is.
Do you guys know anyone personally who watches that show?
No,
I do not.
I don't either.
Dan Castellaneta of The Simpsons makes $400,000 per episode.
Which is great because he just does voiceover.
That's like 20 minutes of work right there.
That's the best.
His co-star Julie Kavner is 8th on the list. Hugh Laurie from House makes $400,000 per episode as well.
Hmm.
And then 10th on the list, it's a tie with Christopher Maloney and his co-star Mariska Hargitay. They both make $395,000 per episode each. That's your top 10 moneymakers. Then just below that, David Caruso for CSI Miami. He's making $375,000 per episode to take his sunglasses off.
He takes them off well.
He does.
He does that well.
That is that's Sharktopus money. I got to tell you, that's impressive.
Surprising, Jeremy Piven. Really, his salary way above his entourage co-stars, as it should be.
Yeah,
he's making $350,000 per episode, whereas the other guys are making about $200,000 each,
which is a lot.
He was the one who came into it with a career and a name, and
he keeps that show alive.
He's the only reason people watch that show, I think.
And if you go all the way down to the bottom of the list. This is funny. I mean, some of these numbers are going to change, for sure. But Jane Lynch on Glee is only making $50,000 an episode.
Yeah, that'll change as soon as possible.
Matthew Morrison of Glee is only making $30,000 an episode.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these contracts will be reworked. Bottom of the list, Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family
only making 15 grand per
what?
Episode.
Little Manny?
Little Manny from Modern Family. Oh, only making 50 grand. Raise.
Not that Manny.
Different Manny. But he does get all the bagels he can eat at the craft service table.
And he takes advantage of that.
All the candy bars he can scarf down. So he's got that going.
But when you say, I mean, when you compare it with those other numbers, it's, you know, amazingly low. But when you say 15 grand in an episode, that's a lot.
And you're 11.
Yeah. If you're making that a week, that's a good week.
That's a crazy lot amount of money for that age.
It is a crazy lot, a lot.
You heard me. You heard me. You knew exactly what I meant.
Can we get the Olympic doping team in here to take some blood and see if Kevin's operating under some performance-enhancing drugs?
I would box him.
Get him the breathalyzer!
Hit Michael Clark, I'll get him in the head.
I'm not going to box him.
Give him a breathalyzer. I don't want to hurt him. I don't know if you guys saw the sketch one of our listeners did of the fight of Kevin and Michael Clark Duncan. It involves Kev's head being separated from his body.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
That's great.
Yeah. Is Angelina Jolie seeing another woman?
Yes!
I hope.
All
I hope.
Right!
Please say yes. Star Magazine reports that she has been spotted with a mystery brunette, they're calling her.
All right.
The two apparently are very cozy and affectionate in these photos. This is not the first time she's been spotted with Miss X.
Right.
So we don't know what's going on there, but I'd rather not know because I'm afraid it might not be what I think it's going to be, and I'd rather just have my imagination and my penis.
But with her,
I love lesbians.
Well, who doesn't, Dave?
But with her, that could be happening.
It absolutely could be happening.
So I'm in.
Today's celebrity birthday, Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple, is 60 years old today. Speaking of Apple, Yoko Ono went on the record this week and said, don't hold your breath for the Beatles songs ever being able to be downloaded on iTunes.
Okay, what's her problem
What is that?
I have no idea.
Not high enough royalty rate or
she
something?
She is really digging in her heels, apparently. So,
but she understands there's going to come a point where people are going to stop buying CDs altogether. They won't even make them at some point. And then how is she going to sell Beatles records?
Wax cylinders.
She's been trying
That's
to
her plan.
Destroy that band from day
She's
one.
Been doing nothing but damage to the Beatles for 40 years
and she
now.
She continues.
Hulk
she hates the Beatles.
She does. More than you do. Hulk Hogan's 57 years old today. Hulkster, what are you going to do for your birthday? How are you going to celebrate?
I'm going to kill my ex-wife, Linda, and bury her in a shallow grave, brother.
Nice.
Yeah, that's not bad. Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie's 34 years old today. Chris Kelly, Mac Daddy of Chris Cross, Make You Wanna Jump, is 32 years old. And Asher Roth celebrates his 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Oh, there's that theme that I love so much from that show that I love so much that returns on Fox on Monday night, September the 20th. We're talking about House. I wonder whatever happened to... I wonder what happened on that show. It's been so long since it's been on. Where are we, Ralph? What's going on that program? Any ideas?
I just know House took some broad's leg off. I know, that was bad.
That's right.
Had an amputated leg. And then him and Cuddy apparently are going to finally acknowledge their attraction with each other.
All right.
Because she's breaking up with that private investigator she was living with.
He was too good for her.
Big changes on the House team, too, I heard this year. That's what's
Well, it's funny you should bring that up because on the phone with us right now, we have a new doctor joining the medical staff there at Princeton Plainsboro. We're talking about actress Amber Tamblyn returning to the Kevin and Bean Show and is on House. Amber, how are you?
We did it.
we did it.
What did we do?
We did what?
I don't know. All of us together. We're doing it.
We are. We're all doing this.
Doing it.
This is like a big love-in.
All right.
I feel like I'm listening to my two favorite wives. I missed you both so much.
Oh, you're very sweet.
Speaking
you're
of
very
missing sweet. Things, Amber, I know this has nothing to do with what's going on in your career anymore, but I miss The Unusuals. I loved that show.
That is really sweet of you to say, because you're probably the only person that watched it.
That's not true. We all watched it.
I know I watched it. Yeah, it was very good.
You were great on it, and Jeremy Renner also was great on it. And just it was a very entertaining, different kind of cop show that was wildly entertaining.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a really fun show to do.
It didn't last long enough, but other than that,
the one thing that we've learned, and you certainly know this, is you can do a good show. It doesn't mean it's going to stay on the air. It is very difficult to create a hit television show, something that works for the network that it's on.
My dad did Twin Peaks, and he always is reminding me of that. He's like, they couldn't keep Twin Peaks on the air. They won't keep your show on the air.
Exactly.
That's nice of him to bum me out like that.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about House. House looks like it's going to be fine. Now, tell me, as an actress, how something like this happens. Is this they had a casting call for a new doctor, or your people were bugging them every year to try to get you on it, or how did it come together?
I think they kind of were asking if I liked the show, if I'd watched the show, which I had. And then they basically came to me and said that they wanted to create a character for me, which I was a little freaked out at first because I hadn't really seen the show enough to know that that the characters aren't just doctors. Like, it's a really, really interesting character show.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that I think that David Shore is one of the most amazing writers. He created the show. And after I watched a couple seasons of it, and I also saw that episode where House saws off that woman's leg.
How amazing is that?
Yeah, and they basically said they wanted to, you know, make me a sort of like a pre-med student that he brings on to the team, which is not legal, and she just sort of, you know, goes toe-to-toe with him. And I thought, you know what, that'd be really fun to do for 13 episodes.
Now, we were talking about launching a show and how difficult that can be. Is it difficult or daunting to join a show that's already kind of got some momentum?
That's a really good question. That was you know, part of the fear of this for me was the fact that they kind of offered it with, you know, without seeing a script or anything. They were just like basically on a premise of what the character would be. So I was going, oh my God, you guys are already so established and there's a relationship there. And, you know, I've never actually been on that other side of it, coming into something like that. But everyone, I had my first day yesterday. Everybody was so sweet and so cool. And, you know, it's really interesting to sort of, make your own show and see how that feels, you know, when to be the person on the other side, sort of coming in for the first time to an established show.
It's got to be great to work with Hugh Laurie, though, right?
Oh, he is incredible. He's interesting to watch when he's not working.
Really?
Someone's got binoculars.
He's just an interesting guy. I mean, I've snuck into his trailer several times.
I'm smelling stalker.
Definitely
getting creepy here.
Note to self, alert security on the staff of House.
One of the things that I'm excited about seeing, and again, we don't know very much about your character yet, except that she's new to the hospital and she's pre-med, is that House is at his best when he meets a new adversary, somebody that he comes in contact with, because he loves to figure that person out, figure out how to push their buttons, and it's always so great to see the class of different personalities with Dr. House, and it sounds like that's kind of what we're going to be seeing with your character.
Yeah, and I think you're going to be seeing my character push some of his buttons, too, so it's going to be a really interesting push and pull on either side. I'm very excited about it.
Have you started shooting the love scenes with Olivia Wilde yet?
Oh.
Because I know that's probably in the workings, right?
We hope. In my dreams, sir. Only in my dreams.
Come on now. Let's make
best dreams
reality.
Ever.
That's what TV does.
She is Olivia Wilde, who, of course, we love on The House also. She is not going to be on as many episodes this year because she's a big-time movie star now, right?
I think that's the case. But I think that there's been, like, people thought I was sort of coming in to fill in her space. But I don't think that that's the case because they wanted me to stay on as a regular, and I wasn't really comfortable with doing that. But I think that I think that they just wanted to bring in somebody new, and then she's off to do a film. But she's coming back, I think, at the end of the season. I'm not really sure. They may not be sure either. I think
for the episode where you guys had that love scene.
Yes, we will make that happen.
Please make that happen.
We'll make that happen for you.
Thank you so
much.
And
we will call each other Kevin and Bean.
We're very excited about it. It's House. It's the season premiere is Monday, September 20th at 8 on Fox. Tell us about Saturday, the four annual drums inside your chest, because I don't understand it. What is it?
This is something I've been doing every year, it's called The Drums Inside Your Chest. It's a big variety show. This year we're doing it at the Largo at Coronet Theater. And basically it's just a really rad event that I've helped produce, every year for the last 4 years. It has a combination of, musicians and, contemporary poets. And when I say contemporary poets, I mean comedians. That's really all they are. They just are like a different style of comedian, like a new wave of comedians. We have the band Glyph. We have a magician, Rob Zabrecki, from the Magic Castle. It's just a really, really, really fun variety show that I've been doing for a long time.
So this is you and your hippie friends getting together to smoke some grass. That's what this is.
Smoke
some grass?
A little
bit. Okay.
Hey, Grandpa.
I wanted to speak in terms that the hippie would understand.
Yeah, that's all.
Stay off his lawn. You kids are into the schmugadoo.
What's happening with this?
Don't call the fuzz on him, Bean.
Sometimes Bean goes 1800 on us.
All right, so music, magicians, performers, and it's all going to be happening at the Largo Coronet Theater, and it's going to be this Saturday night at 7:30. And you do what? Are you behind the scenes, or do you do something on stage as well, Amber, or what?
I'm actually going to be singing a song with one of the musicians. I just found out. Normally, I don't perform in the show. I just help to produce it and bring together. You know, like this year, we have Patricia Smith, who who is a National Book Award nominee and really amazing writer. But I'm going to sing on stage, and I think I'm going to do something with an auction that might have to do with a striptease.
Oh, come
okay,
on
wait
now.
A minute. All right.
Wait, wait.
How do I buy tickets? How do I buy tickets again?
Hold on, wait.
I'm going to use Olivia Wilde as a pole, and I'm going to swing around her.
Yeah!
This is the greatest show on earth.
You know how to sell it. What
it certainly
time?
Is.
I'm going to go there now.
7:30 Saturday night, you can get your tickets at poetrytickets.com. Again, it's poetrytickets.com, and House returns September 20th. That's Monday night at 8 on Fox. Amber Tamlin, we love having you on the Kevin Amin Show. You're welcome anytime. Thanks so much for coming on.
Awesome. Lovely to talk to you guys.
Thank you. You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show on a Wednesday. By the way, our friend Joe Rogan on the program tomorrow. Looking forward to that. He's always awesome. Speaking of guests swinging by the old radio station, after we were gone yesterday, two-thirds of Muse came by. Who's better than Muse right now?
No one.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. And Stryker, who does the afternoon show here on the mighty flagship station of the Kevin Amin Show, the world-famous K-Rock in Los Angeles, happened to accost them in the hall, and this happened.
This is Matt, and that is Dom. They are 66% of the greatest band, Muse.
Hey, how's it going?
Everything is good. How are you guys doing?
Great, great. Very chilled out and relaxed. We're on a kind of a vacation.
So you're in L.A. for a few days. Even though, of course, you're not even from the United States, I consider you an L.A. band because this city has gravitated to you guys for a very long time.
Yeah, no, we've loved it here. Ever since we actually made quite a lot of our third album here, Absolution.
Right.
We recorded a lot of that here. Every time we come through, we just kind of feel very much at home. It's one of those places where you're on the road, but you feel at home, you know?
When people first moved to L.A., they hang out in a spot that they think is just the best and most artsy. And then a year later, they're like, I can't believe I was hanging out there. Right. Are there any places like that for you guys?
Well, you know, there's years ago, when we first came, we used to like hang around the Mondrian. You know?
Okay.
You know? And it's like, and I can't believe, you know, now, you know, you sort of think, like, what was I thinking? You know,
right.
You're hanging around with a bunch of, you know, buffoons and clowns.
Right.
And, but, you know, that's what we were. We were buffoons and clowns back then.
Right.
So, you know,
I still am, by the way, just so you know.
We fitted in, yeah.
What parts of L.A. do you gravitate towards now?
All over, really. Silver Lake, I've discovered. Obviously.
Okay,
that seems like a place where there seems to be lots of nice places to go out there,
right.
Hanging about there a little bit. Palisades for some reason.
Yeah, Pacific Palisades. Yeah, I went to high school in the Palisades.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's a very lovely, very quiet, laid back.
It is. Very rough neighborhood.
Yeah. I've been going down Santa Monica, Venice Beach, that kind of area.
Okay,
Just all over. Yeah.
Every time we play a Muse song on the radio, in my mind, you guys are gaining another fan because there's so many people. I'll play a Muse song and someone will call me like, Stryker, what was that song? I'll tell them it's Muse. Just to give people a little history who don't know that much about you guys, there was a time when you were on a very big record label, rhymes with Haverick, Maverick, and some things were going on. Their taste, I don't know if they loved or hated your voice or the music, and they didn't want to put out one of the records. And was it your choice to leave them, or they said, thanks a lot, but goodbye?
Yeah, but basically we were on lots of different independent labels, and that was the biggest one. Actually, Maverick, even though they're big, they were an indie label. You know, like, they were just unique for North America. And over in Europe, we started to do really well. And I think our second album, Origin and Symmetry, we started to get quite experimental and getting sort of operatic sounds and operatic vocals and more kind of progressive music. And I think at the time over here, rock was like, it was like Limp Bizkit and...
It was very, very different.
Corn and all that kind of stuff.
So they wanted something that was going
to
hit this second.
Like that kind of thing. And I was going, it just wasn't really working. You know what I mean? So it was only a 2-album deal anyway with them, so we just decided to not carry on, basically.
And then you signed here in America with Warner Brothers, and it's been unbelievable since.
Yeah, so our third album, Absolution, was kind of perceived as almost like a debut over here. It felt that way when we came out here.
Got it. What's on your bucket list? Things you want to do before you die?
Complete my paramotoring course.
There you go.
That's something I'll
sing like Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, exactly. Do a couple of metal album.
I want to go to I found out what that Japanese island was. It's called Sado Island, where you go and like hang out with a bunch of monks, Buddhist monks
who just drum
all day, sleep on a mat and eat rice.
Wow.
You go there to kind of meditate and play the drums. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I mean, it's I really want to go and do something like that. Go and spend a bit of time over there.
Yeah, I definitely want to go to India at some point and just like do the whole like lose it like for a couple of months
and like come to magic,
come back and reject Western civilization. You know what I mean? Like, I basically want to definitely do that at some point.
Troy Beast wants to know, what was it like playing with you two, and did you hang out with them? Did you talk music? Did you guys bond?
Yeah, we hung out with those guys a bit, and they were nice. Yeah, they let us go on their plane, which was very very polite of them. Probably the best live band I think we've seen. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, because we'd actually never seen them before. I'd never seen them before when we actually toured them, but it was great to see those guys are totally rocking out. But They're wicked. We got the Edge to come and play with us when we played Glastonbury Festival just like a month ago, or in June actually, in the UK, and that was great. And we played Where the Streets Have No Name.
Nice.
And that was, you know,
that must have been amazing.
That was great. Yeah, it's a great feeling to kind of get them on stage and play that. But yeah, they're wicked guys.
All right, we're going to end this interview here with 2/3 of the guys from Muse, Matt and Dom. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. It's Muse, everybody.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:42.
Ralph Garman joins us for our final look at the show biz beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on, Ralph?
Great news for everyone who's waiting to see Spider-Man sing and dance on the big stage.
And that would be who?
Me.
All right.
And Lisa May.
Yes, that's us.
I'm going for the comic book. She's going for the Broadway show.
Yep.
Daily Variety announces Spider-Man the Musical, with music by Bono and the Edge, of course, will now begin previews at the Foxwoods Theater in Broadway, on Broadway, rather, November the 14th. So if you're looking for a birthday present for Uncle Ralph, just saying, it's right around. It's right around my birthday.
No.
But you said it's in New Jersey, though?
No, it's in New York City.
New York, yeah.
Manhattan. New York, New York.
Yeah. Broadway.
Broadway. The Great White Way. The city's so nice, they had to name it twice.
Nobody cares.
Begins previews on the 14th. December 21st will be the opening date. Finally, we'll get to see Peter Parker and Mary Jane and the Green Goblin battle it out. I'm scared of this musical.
You guys not interested.
You may not remember, but there was a short-lived Spider-Man Rocks musical up at Universal Studios here in Los Angeles, where Spider-Man would swing across the stage. I need a hero!
He'd
swing across the stage, and it was, I'm sure this will be much better.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
Nobody wants that, you stupid asshole.
Hey, come on now.
Easy. Wow.
Jeez.
We're not putting it on.
Congratulations to Justin Bieber. He's now a spokesperson for Proactive. It's kind of amazing the level of celebrity that Proactive gets for their little infomercials.
They do.
They must pay a lot. About it.
Katy Perry, I think, did one. Then Jessica Simpson, of course.
Alicia Keys.
Didn't Puff?
Oh, yeah.
P. Diddy? Didn't
I think
he do
Diddy
one?
Did you? Yeah, he sure did.
High level of talent. They're talking about their zits.
You don't know damn well that Lindsay Lohan and Jessica Simpson was not using no Proactive. So Diddy wore Proactive.
Yeah. I got the cocoa butter skin.
He was the only one doing them drunk, though.
Yeah, that's true. Star Magazine talking about the plot for the next Fast and the Furious movie.
All right.
Sweet.
Oh,
Fast Cars?
What could that be?
It'll be the fifth installment of the film, by the way.
What could that plot be?
The fifth Fast and the Furious.
Welcome I know,
that's
back.
Crazy.
Welcome back, Mr. Diesel.
Paul Walker and Jordana Brewster's characters apparently are expecting a baby.
Okay.
Baby comes out of Jordana Brewster's vagina in a Trans Am.
While they're
I've heard.
Driving really quickly?
The baby drives out of her body.
Wow.
That's what I understand. He goes into labor. Just maybe just peels rubber out of the birth canal.
Now, I haven't been hard to believe following that series. Kevin, I know that you've seen at least some of them. The last one, by all accounts, was very good, right?
It was very good.
Fast and Furious 4 was supposed to be real good.
They brought the original gang back together. They had Michelle Rodriguez and Paul Walker and Vin Diesel and Jordana Brewster. So it was like
it was good, but,
seeing old friends.
I mean, it's, you know what you're getting with that movie. You're getting
there's no Tokyo Drift.
No.
Don't get me wrong. Hey! Where a white man goes undercover in the world of Asian drivers.
Yeah.
Which I consider a horror movie.
And the Karate Kid. Kind of the same thing.
That's right. And Jason Trawick. Name sound familiar? He's Britney Spears' boyfriend / manager.
Oh, okay.
Apparently he knows the way to her heart. Whenever he wants to make an impression with Britney, according to sources, he stops by her favorite place, Crumbs Bakery. They sell gourmet cupcakes there. He picks up a 6-pack for his girlfriend on the way home.
I was going to guess onion rings, but all
you
right.
You know what, Jason? She doesn't need any more cupcakes.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Try getting her some shampoo next time you want to buy her a gift. Or some shoes.
Yeah.
Or some carpet deodorizer. Oh. I'm saying her house must smell bad because lets her dogs run all over the house.
Right. Okay.
They probably poop and stuff on the carpet. I'm just saying she probably needs.
I only pay for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
I'm saying her carpet probably smells.
Right.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah. Right.
Congratulations to co-star of the Harry Potter series, Emma Watson. who really doesn't need any more success in her career. She's already one of the most popular franchises in movie history. But apparently she is the inside track holder. Inside track holder? You hold the inside
on
track?
On the inside track?
I don't
She's
think.
On the inside track?
Yeah.
She's holding the position on the inside track?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's in the pole position?
Pole position. Oh, yeah.
Now you're talking.
I hope
so. Yeah.
That's much what better. You meant at all. Yes.
For the coveted role of Lisbeth Salander, who, of course, is the female hero of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo of the Girl With trilogy of books. They are talking to her about potentially taking the role of that computer programmer opposite Daniel Craig.
So now, I don't know much about this. I know they're wildly successful. Are they a couple? Will Daniel Craig now be a couple with them?
They have a hot sex scene.
They do.
Because aren't they like 25-year age difference or something?
Yeah. And the character of Lisbeth is also bisexual, so she likes
All right.
She likes to play both sides of the net, if you know what I mean.
We do know what you mean.
Do you?
Yes.
You sure? I don't know where the net comes in. I don't understand that at all.
No, but I got the bisexual part before the net.
Oh, okay.
I'm ignoring the net.
Speaking of bisexuality, Angelina Jolie, according to Star Magazine, is seeing another woman.
Yes.
She's stepping out behind Brad's back.
These stories have been since day one.
Yeah. Well, she did Gia. Remember the movie she did Gia where she played the famous supermodel who was bisexual? And ever since those days,
we
question
to be
her sexuality has been up in the air.
I only paid on this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
She's been honest about having girlfriends in the past.
Yeah, but not recently, as far as anyone knows. But Star Magazine says she's been spotted with a mystery brunette.
Megan Fox. Please, Megan Fox.
Wouldn't that be the awesome?
They've been looking cozy and affectionate and apparently seeing quite a bit of each other. So no word of what's going on there. I'm sure it is absolutely meaningless and platonic. But I would like, for the sake of my penis, to believe otherwise. Yeah,
the tabloids, all they need is a photo of Angelina Jolie with somebody else in it, and they invent an entire backstory as to what the relationship is likely to be.
There's a famous story about a journalist who was doing an expose on her for a magazine, and they took a photo of her saying goodbye to him at an airport. And the next day, he said, I woke up, and I was in the tabloid as her new boyfriend behind Brad Pitt's back. He said, that's when I knew you can't believe anything you read in the tabloids
anymore. Yeah. Thanks. But I want this to be true.
I'm with you, brother.
All right.
And interesting casting news. You know, Steve Carell is leaving The Office at the end of next season. So they're talking about who they can bring in to perhaps take over the role as the leader of the Dunder Mifflin branch there in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Danny McBride, star of HBO's Eastbound and Down, apparently on the short list that NBC would like to see come in next season and get worked into the cast.
He'd be great.
He would, but the name that's being thrown around this morning that I think would be hilarious is the actor Reese Darby, who played the manager, Murray, of Flight of the Conchords.
He would be brilliant on that
show. He would be pretty amazing.
That's the first person that you've mentioned that I think it would be over the top. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
So he is looking for work.
Wow.
He's out of a gig. So we're hoping maybe they'll add him to the cast. And
Maybe in the 70s, guys. But come on, get up with the 90s. Times have changed.
That's true. Times have changed.
So great.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple, is 60 years old. Whatever happened
formerly
to that company?
Formerly Mr. Kathy Griffin for a while. Remember?
Yeah, they were dating for a short time. He is 60 years old today. Hulk Hogan celebrates his 57th birthday. Hulkster, what are you going to do to celebrate this year?
Let me tell you something, brother. This is Bean, and you can call me Beanamania. You can call me Ambean. You can call me Taco Bean. You can call me Jelly Bean. But the one thing you got to know is that Beanamania is going to run wild on you, brother. So what's he going to do when Beanamania destroys you?
That's Hulk doing his Bean impression.
I know. How random is that?
That's odd.
Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie is 34 years old today. Asher Roth is 25.
How does he feel about higher education?
It was a joke that was made earlier today.
Of course, he was known for his hit, I Love College. That's why Bean asked that earlier today.
Yeah.
Asher's completely legitimate.
Asher is 25 years old. But
funny?
Legitimate, but horrible.
Funny?
Legitimate, but bad.
I'm standing by it.
And Chris Kelly, half of the legendary duo Chris Cross, make you wanna. He's 32 years old today.
A little left.
Let me a little taste.
All right. That's not
Chris Cross, Make You Wanna Jump. That's just Jump by Van Halen.
All right. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Is this Chris Cross?
Nope.
No.
That's not Chris Cross either. Yeah. Yeah.
I got to tell you, they made me jump.
Yeah, I love that song. Celebrate, Kevin is wearing his clothes backwards today.
That's right.
Usually he comes here with his clothes backwards. It's not for that reason. It's just because he doesn't know how to dress himself.
One day a year, it makes
today
sense.
Today, it's appropriate. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have comedian and UFC announcer Joe Rogan in our studios tomorrow. He's always great. He'll talk about stand-up, he'll talk about UFC, and he'll talk about what he's seen on the internet that's going to kill us all.
Maybe he can help coach you for your upcoming fight with Michael Clark Duncan.
That's a great idea.
That's not going to happen. I'm not fighting anyone.
Because, you know, Duncan's got the Gracies in his corner, and you can have Joe Rogan in your corner.
That's a fantastic idea, Ralph.
The Gracies win.
Why does Kevin think that he could just smack talk, challenge a man to get in the ring and fight him, and then go, oh, no,
that.
I was kidding. Well, oh, I didn't mean it.
He's going to learn that you can't do that.
None of that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
None of that happened. Jim Henson tomorrow also.
I mean, you basically took a shot at him. You basically pulled out a rifle and mowed down his family and then said, oh, I'm not really interested in being in a war with you.
Is Jim Henson bringing Kermit and the rest of the Muppets with him?
John Henson will also be on tomorrow's show.
Oh,
so we've got both of them.
Good, the Henson brothers.
We have a new internet roundup.
I love their song, Mbop.
And we're going to talk Henson to Dr. Drew, so that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around for some System of a Down? Also, Soundgarden, the new one from Bad Religion, Alien Ant Farm, and more straight ahead on K-Rock.